Recorded live.
Hello, Talk Shoe people. Hold on 1 second.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Oh.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we
hear you. Got a little bit of a... Okay, hold on 1 second.
What about Noel Dog? What do you want to know? I thought she was a freak. You know, freaky dicky. You ask why I continue to stare? I look like a retard? I'm not crazy. Next step. Noel had the grip and she knew what to do. Look, Alvin wants freak. He just don't want him for a wife.
And that would be the topic for the night, gentlemen.
That's what's up.
We switched around just a little bit. I'm going to go over the ground rules real quick. No profanity whatsoever. And this is an all-men's call. Ladies, if you're listening and you'd like to join in, that is not an option verbally. Okay? The topic is every man wants a freak. Well, actually, every man loves a freak but doesn't want one for a wife. The clip is from Spike Lee's movie, She's Gotta Have It. And it's about a lady by the name of Nola Darling. Somewhat successful. Very attractive.
I think we lost the host.
Hello?
Yeah, he'll dial back in shortly. I think his line got disconnected. Yeah. He's dialing back in. He'll be on shortly, fellas. Just hang tight. See him dialing back in now. We'll keep the show rolling.
We still on the radio show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, yeah.
Yep. So the topic again is what, Rodney?
Every man loves a freak, but he doesn't want one for a wife.
Every man wants a freak, but he doesn't want one for his wife.
That's right.
Wow. I wonder how that happened.
Yeah. That sounds like the website. householdstress.com for
yeah.
More information, folks. Our host is dialing back in. While he's dialing back in, if only Al Gore had household stress, maybe he wouldn't be tied up like he is today.
Wow, how many years, though?
40 years.
40 years.
Yeah, he should have been hollering at us on Tuesday night.
He need to listen to this call tonight. Maybe that's what he's looking for. Listen.
Out of the loop. When I was out going.
Oh, yeah, him and his wife separate. They announced their separation today after 40 years of marriage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
The freak has left the building. That's tough, man. Listen. How do you talk about your wife as a freak? Is that the I want to put the poll in the room action?
Yeah, I think first you have to define what is a freak. I mean, are we talking freak as in frequency, or are you talking about freak as far as what's done in the bedroom? I think that's where you need to start. You know,
I know what a freak.
Go ahead.
I said I think we all know what a freak is.
I don't think we do. We probably have all different interpretations of it. Like I said, I mean, you could, you know, say freak as far as frequency or what she actually does. So, you know,
well,
I think that, you know.
I don't want to marry a woman that wants it frequently. I think that's what the guy wants is frequently, right?
Please tell me everybody's still on.
Yeah,
hello?
We're still on, head of household. Go ahead. Finish what your business was.
Talk show just cut me completely off. It wouldn't let me back on.
That's not good. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do your thing, brother.
Anyway, so I'm talking about the girl, Nola Darling, being successful. Her own place, her own whatever she needed. Didn't really need a man. But the fact of the matter is, she had three of them. And they all served a certain purpose, sexually, intellectually, and whatever. Most people would call Nola Darling a freak. I want to throw one question out to the audience. Who marries the freak?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Crazy.
So Nola Darling, in this particular case, just doesn't get a husband?
Oh, she does, but he don't know it. See, she keeps that side, you know, hidden for that one dude. She acts like, you know, she's straight up, and he doesn't know what he's getting into. That's the one that marries that. All the other dudes out there know she's a freak, but her guy, you know, the one she got eyes on like that, doesn't know she's a freak, and he's like the straight-laced dude, and she keeps, you know, her other freak diggies on the side, and she keeps them after she gets married anyway.
Okay. Well, I don't really know what Webster's definition of freak is, so we're going to have to use a slang definition. And let's just say for the sake of tonight's conversation is someone that will do freaky things sexually.
Yeah, and
we'll keep it as simple as that.
Yeah, that's what I asked him while you were gone, Mr. Host. I said, you know, we got to define what is freak. You know, is it the like you just said, you know, is it what's done in the bedroom, or is it frequency, you know, of the do, you know, so.
And what one defines as a freak may be totally different from the other.
That's right. That's right. Good words, brother.
Well, if I may add, I mean, frequency or what we do in the bedroom can equally be described as being a freak. I think most men want to marry someone that will fulfill their deepest fantasy. And that's sometimes they say, you know what, but for others it may look like a freak. And as soon as that there's a child involved or we have a family, we stop doing that freaky stuff. And then some of us look for it elsewhere. But we look at our wives like a mother instead of being that soulmate that is willing to fulfill that our deepest fantasy. And I think I would love, you know, to if I would ever marry again, to marry the mother and also the freaky, because therefore I would never have to have that trying to find things elsewhere or to even have the thought, you know, that could be a form of infidelity. So I think we're all looking for a freak. But a freak doesn't mean that it's someone that is going to be the lowest of the society. I think a freak is simply to fulfill the simple fantasy that we sometimes have, and then we're afraid to reveal it.
Good words.
Anybody agree with what he just said?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Brother, I believe that your quest is a sincere quest in regards to finding the woman that you want to marry that might be the freak. What I disagree with you is that you say that once you have that you'll be complete and that you won't think about being with anybody else but the freak. I disagree. What I feel is that even in a good, solid marriage, that without, I don't know if this is a spiritual program or not, but I believe that the devil will attack you in any direction that he can to try to get you out your house. And I think that once you're in a relationship with a woman that you love, and I think that you might think you may never want to step out or disrespect her or whatever, I think that the devil will try to make any excuse in your life to try to make your marriage non-subtle, especially before God. He'll create boredom in the bedroom. You know, it was all great before we got married. Now we married. We doing what we do, whatever we do. And then all of a sudden you've been with her for a while, and all of a sudden you start getting these thoughts about it ain't so good no more. Or what would it be like on the other side of the fence? I'm starting to say that I think that you have the right concept, but I think that you need to keep in mind where the attacks come from. That's all I'm saying.
Words.
Good words. Anybody else want to reflect on that? Okay, let me throw a question out there. And he made a great point, because things do change after the wedding gets on its way. You got a couple years in, the responsibilities, the kid, jobs, all these things change. But is it totally off limits to discuss one's fantasies, sexual fantasies, with their spouse?
That's a hot topic. Do I think it's off limits? No. Do I think you're going to create trust issues? Do I think it'd be better off to talk about in the men's discussion group instead of with your spouse? I guess that depends on where your relationship is with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think it goes back to what the brother said earlier about, you know, you have to, with fantasies and everything, you have to be, you know, this whole thing is about communication. And if we can communicate those things, you know, that's half the battle right there. But, you know, I think like the brother just alluded to, you know, you start coming up with fantasies and your relationship ain't right. You know, she's going to start to wonder where you got these thoughts, or are you trying this with other chicks or whatever the case may be. But it could be, you know, dicey territory.
Okay. But are you robbing your marriage of fairness by not saying that to your wife, expressing those feelings?
Yeah,
in my opinion, yes. But when you talk about fantasies, are you talking about fantasies that would be God honoring? Or are you talking about, hey baby, why don't you bring your best friend up in here and the three of us can get it on?
Well, I mean, whatever fantasies you have.
Well, I would think that
whatever fantasies that you may have.
Guys doing certain things, I don't think there's anything that's off limits. But when you start crossing lines and breaking the marriage covenant, that's a different ballgame.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to put a stripper pole in the bedroom and say, baby, you know, I like this, I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but
okay. Bring a third party in. That's
yeah, I'm going to bring the stripper pole in, and you bring two of your girlfriends and put a show on for me, I think you crossed the line.
I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think also, I remember my point. But what I was saying is that what the brother said about, you know, once they have kids and stuff, I think they view themselves differently and we view them differently versus when we were dating them. You know, so, you know, like the example of the stripper pole, that's an easier conversation to have with your girlfriend. But now that she's the mother of your children, it's kind of like, ooh. I mean, you think about it, but you just don't want to open that Pandora's box because, like I say, she's viewing herself differently. You're viewing yourself. I mean, you're viewing her in a different light just for the simple fact that she's now a mother of your children, and that takes a whole new dynamic, you know, to the whole relationship. So
I think if you do that, you shorten yourselves of you know, excitement that you could have. I don't think that should be off the table because you got kids or this or that.
Right.
You constantly date your wife.
No, right. I'm not saying it's off the table. I'm just saying that it's a different conversation. You know, you have to be careful in how you broach that with your wife versus broaching that with your. I mean, it'd be nothing to broach. Oh, you want to get a stripper pole with your girl? You know, but with your wife and the mother of your kids, you can't just lay it out the same way. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's off limits. I'm just saying.
No more. She's also baby mama now.
Yeah.
Wow.
You gotta
wow,
go
that puts her in a different category then.
Yeah.
So pretty much we just cut off our nose to spite our face. I mean, it is what it is.
I got a foolish drill. I can put one up anytime.
And they got them now where you could just, you know, use no tools from what I've heard.
So how would you know that?
Yeah, I've seen it on an infomercial or something.
How would she know? Exactly. So basically, what we're saying here is now she's not just your wife, she's the mother of your children.
Right.
And the mother of your children shouldn't be swinging on a pole in the bedroom.
I disagree, though.
Well, I disagree with you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I think that you can keep reinventing the wheel as long as it's just with her and not somebody else.
There you
go. And I think the frequency, back to my earlier point, is that I don't think, again, back to the topic, I don't think we want her swinging on the pole 3 times a month. I mean, I think that's something special where she just break out the, like I say, the pole that, you know, is no tools involved. I think that should be a special occasion because I think, back to the topic at hand, I don't think we would want that on a weekly basis. Maybe it's just me.
I agree. No, I think it's just you, dude.
Just me?
Well, it's just you, man. A few other women that have on the phone. But me personally, dude, however often you want to swing on that pole, do it. You want to do it every night.
Oh, man.
Do it. Well,
I think that takes the novelty out of it.
Anything, to each his own. Maybe that's something that certain people might get a little bored with. Me personally, I wouldn't. So let me ask you this, host, and all the other guests.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. You married, you together, you having fantasies that don't involve her. Are you disrespecting the marriage?
I believe that you are.
And I think that's why it's important to disclose
all your fantasy to your girlfriend or soon to be your wife or your wife right up from the start, so there's not that infidelity. And I think that when we are boyfriend and girlfriend, we live up that fantasy, you know, we don't know where it's heading. And then when we get married, we tend to, like, go back to the role model that we're accustomed to, which is our parents. Our parents behave a certain way, so therefore we have to. I cannot look at you the same way. But if you disclose that from the get-go, and I think that can be a continuity throughout the marriage and live out your fantasy, not necessarily you don't have to go out of your certain boundaries, but saying that, honey, I was thinking about that. What do you think about it? But doesn't mean that I'm going to be disrespectful to you. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be cheating on you, but I'm just telling you as a man, this is my fantasy, and then what do you think? And then she can discuss and says, honey, I don't feel comfortable. Okay, fine. Okay, let's leave it that way, you know, or let's leave it out and try it out. But I think we tend to, when we get married, we go back to being like our parents. Like you said, this is the role model that I have. I have to be a certain way. And then I think that's a mistake we made.
So do you think that, you know, you say that we should lay out all our fantasies, you know, to our girlfriend. Do you think that we have all our fantasies at that point? Because I think that fantasies evolve and change and, you know, that sort of thing, whereas you might, you know, something you think of as a fantasy in a marriage, you may have never thought of it when you were 18 or 20 or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. People change, and I think as a married couple evolves, that open communication has to stay in place. And then if we keep our deepest secret from the get-go and then suddenly blurt out and saying, like, you know what, I was thinking about that, she's going to think that you're a freak. I never saw that coming. She got blindsided. But if from the beginning that was an open communication between the two, and then you can role-play whatever you want to do, and then knowing that the marriage, the foundation is solid, it's just that, you know, there's a fine line between fantasy and live out a reality. They're going to reality. You can talk whatever the dirty talk you want to have, and then continue progressing with the change that we the pressure that we get in life, and saying, you know what, I was thinking about that. What do you think? And then it's for her not to think that you're necessarily cheating on her, but that you simply want to leave out something, and then it's going to be with her because you are open to it.
It works.
Good words, good words. And what he says makes a whole lot of sense. And a lot of us have gotten in trouble with it because we harbor these fantasies, these things, these fetishes, and we don't tell them. We leave them out. And then 5 years down the road, we test the water to see how the reaction. Maybe I'll try this on her tonight. And then the first thing she's going to say, just like someone said earlier, what woman have you been doing this with?
Yep.
That's the first thing. That's the only thing she's going to think about. Where did this come from? You see, so it could actually cause a lot more harm than good if we don't disclose it up front.
Yep.
Words.
I mean, imagine the other side of it. What if she pulled out something new on you after 5 years?
Mm. And that goes to my next question.
That's a great question.
We're going to get a chance to answer that one, too. What if your wife, that you love to death, that you die for, that you want to please with all of your power, comes home and says, honey, I want to do a menage a trois with me, you, and one of my girlfriends? What do you say to her?
Then you
now think about it.
Yeah, you lost your mind.
I think that's a trick bag.
A lot of men have lost this battle.
Yeah.
That's a trick bag move.
Exactly.
Is that a trick bag move?
Trick bag move.
It's going to happen if it ain't in a movie. Okay.
Tell you, I think that's a trick bag move. That's a setup. Because if you answer yes, and she's all about that, then you're going to pay the price later on. If she ain't all about that and she's just filling the waters to see what you think, you in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The trick bag move.
That's a no-win deal, man.
Yeah, it's definitely no win. But like I said, I've already warned my fiance against that right now. I said, look, you all I need. Please don't ever offer to bring no woman into this bed because I'll probably say yes and then that'll be the end of us. So my flesh is weak.
I mean, yeah. My girl and I got together. I basically told her that because she was, like, not ready to be in a relationship, she wanted to play, or so she said. And she kept saying, well, have your cake and eat it too. And I just kept telling her, that ain't healthy for me, period. That ain't a good thing. And so basically it took some trials and errors and some drama in our lives to get her to understand that that wasn't a good thing. Because what she said out of her mouth and what happened was two different things.
That's right.
You know, because, you know, me being dumb Mr. Man, I'm going to think, okay, we can do this. And then, you know, she moved on and progressed in the relationship, and she thought we were farther along, and I'm still stuck on, well, you can have your cake and eat it too. That came back to bite me. No.
Understood. So regardless of if that's her wish, I mean, there are definitely some underlying issues there. But if we were to take a poll to figure out, to just try to guess what a man's, like if we all had the same fantasy, if we think about what our fantasy, I would think that it's to have sex with more than one woman at the same time.
I concur.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Now, and I've heard a long time ago that women are sometimes smarter than men. So if she comes at you with something that you want, and she flips it and says it's her fantasy, but knowing that that's something that you really want inside, I mean, that you want it deep down inside, how do you handle that situation?
I'm going to tell you, been there, done that, got the T-shirt, don't fall for it.
Look, all I can say is this. If you live in according to your flesh, that all sounds good, but ultimately it's a trick bag.
It is a bad deal.
And if you live according to God's will and desire in your life, I assure you that the last thing he wants you doing is getting freaky dicky with two or more. It's all about one.
And,
that's
and
the way it was designed. And all you're going to do is create issues and drama in your life. It ain't worth it.
And not only that, you cannot bring your number one into that situation.
Mm-mm.
Okay. You know, I'm talking pre-saved here, guys. So I'm just telling you that ain't the move to make with mama.
Okay, you know, you got to have two other freaks if that's the way you're going to go. Because it sounds exciting, but believe me, you're going to pay a price.
Because one day you're going to eat that.
You got that right. Cause that,
remember when? You ain't going to live that down.
If she brings that up, don't fall for the setup because you can't win.
That's a no win. You think you might be winning. That's just temporary. You're going to pay the price.
Okay, so, and good words from all of you. And that's exactly how we would reiterate that to our wives. That's how we break it down.
That's how Abraham had to pay for that one.
How come David had like 10 wives?
How come David had 10 wives?
I was just asking. I was reading in like Samuel last night, not to get all spiritual, but I was inquiring.
Let me ask you a question. Just because men in the Bible live polygamous lives, do you think that that's what God created for them?
No.
Of course not. You know, when he created Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, and Marcia.
Well,
it was Adam and Eve. Period.
Any dude in the world could deal with that. I mean, it's tough enough to deal with the mood of one woman.
Wow. That's strong.
That's real. Why is that going to be wrong?
No, I said strong. I said strong.
Oh,
I didn't say
wrong.
Strong.
I was like,
no, I didn't say wrong at all.
Okay. That's as real as it gets. I can't imagine having to deal with more than one at one time. Ooh.
She be like, okay. Oh, you going to visit her tonight, huh? Oh, Lord. Can you imagine that? Oh, my goodness.
Let's just take ourselves out of the equation for a minute, men. Let's just think about how that makes her feel. What do you think that does to her inner strength, her feelings, her emotions?
Depends on the girl, dude.
I'm going to tell you how it makes her feel. Less than worthy.
Girl, I think that if she holds up a front as if it doesn't bother her, that's a lie.
Well, of course.
There ain't no way. I don't know one man in this world that would be okay with some other dude stroking his woman.
There you go.
Now, he may say it's okay, but in his heart, he gives that bed rattling, he ain't happy.
Right.
Men and women are different. They're built different.
Yeah, we're definitely not built that way at all.
We're built okay for you to have, five or six wives and you out there, banging boots, in the next bedroom because, it's Wednesday and it's her night. Your other wife's in the other bedroom. I don't think that's cool.
That's right. What's she got that I ain't got? Why can she do what he? What makes him happy with her that I can't provide? It attacks her mentally, physically, and spiritually.
I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine that drama in that house. I mean, gosh. There's a show on TV on HBO. I think it's called Big Love or something. About this polygamous dude, and he's got four or five wives, man. And I'm like, ain't no way. I don't know how in the world. I mean, you can have no peace. No peace. And they're not getting busy together. This one got this night, and this one got the next night, and this one got the next night. I mean, can you imagine what that would do to a person?
You ever seen that commercial where the kids are all in the room with the insurance agent, and all of a sudden he offers the one little girl a little plastic play pony.
Oh, yeah.
Then instantly the other little girl gets a big pony.
Right.
The same kind of thought process. Disappointment. Feeling misled. Exactly how they would feel.
Understood. Now, I'm going to go back to Andrew's question. If the wife were to hit you with something 5 years down the line, and I'm going to go into something that women like to do, some married, some unmarried, before married and after marriage, and that's go see male dancers. And the question here is, being together with your wife, trying to do things together, she comes and says, well, you know, I used to go see a lot of male dancers prior to us getting married, and I'm feeling the urge to go see another one. Will you go with me?
Sorry, host.
And I'll be honest with you, man. I'm secure in my relationship with my woman that I wouldn't have a confidence issue in that.
Wonderful.
I would just basically say, go have fun. I know where you're going to be at when you get home. It's only going to be better for me anyway.
Nah, that wouldn't work for me. And I definitely have to deal with it.
Yeah. Thank you.
That wouldn't work for you?
No, absolutely not. Well, my wife ain't into the male dances.
Mine isn't either, but I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. You know, one thing about it is that, you know, when her girlfriends or her cousins, you know, she's almost like, you know, disgusted by that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, she's only, you know, only dancing, you know, goes on. You know, it's like, if I want to, you know, if you want me to dance, I'll do that. But, you know, she's just not into that. So, I mean, and I'm, you know, I don't have a problem with it.
What my wife says is that's exactly it. You know, I mean, that's the difference between being 20 years old and being 45.
Right.
You know, she'll tell me, back in the day, yeah, but I got you to dance for me. I don't need all that.
Yep.
I ain't got to pay to see you dance. Yours is free.
She get the stripper pole out for you.
You know what? I'll jump on the damn thing. Sorry, dang thing.
Hey,
good.
I only heard a couple of people answer, though. I mean, you know, it's still a question. If she says, this is what I want you to do with me, would you do it?
Would I go?
Yeah. Would you go?
I wouldn't have a problem with that. If she asked me that, I would probably be more, I would feel more comfortable with going with her instead of letting her go with her girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. No, I would never go. I would never ever go into ding.
Not everybody is
or,
the same.
Yeah, no, not for me, bro. No.
And for me.
So you would tell her no, Rodney. You'd be like, nah, I'm not down with
if
that.
If she wanted to go. You know, I'll be like, you have to go with your girlfriends, but I ain't going to Ding-a-ling's ass. I'm just not doing it.
Man, but what if you got rid of the ding-a-ling factor and you started thinking about how joyful your wife was having fun with her friends hanging out, thinking, you knowing that she's going to come home all hot and bothered?
Well, wow. The win-win.
I mean, that's right. Win-win. If you change the whole perception about it, I mean, it's all about what you perceive and how you think about it.
And how I will perceive that is like, why
thinking
you're not
you going to the ding-a-ling club, that's what you're going to have an attitude about. But if you're thinking, man, my girl's going to go have some fun. She asked me to come play security guard because that's exactly why you were invited to begin with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's entrusting you the fact that, you know, she wants to have some fun and she's asking you to be the security man. You know you're going to be there if that's what her purpose is. And then when she comes home, she's going to be all hot and bothered. You can't do nothing but win.
Yes, there's another side of that, bro. What if she goes to the strip club and sees a bunch of men who have a lot more than what you have? And on the flip side of that, she no longer is really turned on by you. She's not bothered, but she ain't hot and bothered by what you got. So, there's a flip side of that, too, homie.
Well, I mean,
an issue here. That ain't an issue. Not that one. That ain't an issue.
But
I just
see that as almost like you being caught coming out of a movie, a chick flick, you know, which, I mean, that's not a place where you want to be seen kind of coming out of.
Let's look at this from an outside perspective. What do you care what your fellas think if you're doing what your wife wants you to do?
Thank you. Good words. Chick flicks, fellas, we got to put chick flicks on the menu. Matter of fact, a smart man will go find the chick flick and say, honey, I think here's a good movie for us to watch.
I'm going to watch The City.
Mr. Host, check what I said.
Yes, sir.
You don't want to be out there. You want to go, but you don't want to be seen coming out of the joint. You don't want to be
with your wife.
Hey, I just came out of, you know, whatever, Sex in the
with
City.
Your wife?
So flip
yeah,
that
with
around.
Your wife.
That
you
around.
Know?
What about your wife going to see Total Recall or some all-action adventure, you know, whatever movie, you know what I'm saying? If you flip the script, I mean, how's she going to feel? Is it the same? Does she feel the same? No, she's going to be like,
I just hanging out with my fella. We went and seen this movie. Period. She ain't going to care about that.
I don't care about the movie, but I'll tell you one thing. I've been to enough strip clubs, you know, in my day that I know what's going on, and I would think it would be disrespectful for me to take my wife to a strip club. Okay, first of all, I could never, you know, get into it because I'm feeling like I'm, you know, I'm disrespecting her checking out some other woman's stuff.
And you certainly couldn't relax with her being there. I would agree with you.
No, and I mean, you know, the dollar bills in my mouth wouldn't work.
Okay. Guys, I'm just going to tell you what my bachelor party went between me and my wife when we got married was the fact that, okay, fine, we know how bachelor party goes and we know how bachelor party goes. And then why don't we just, you and I, first we'll go to a strip club, just you and I, with the, you know, and then after that we'll go to a strip club with male.
I would be kosher with that.
Well, I did it, and then I tell you, it's just like she bought me a dance and I bought her a dance, and the fact that we were like okay with it, it's okay as long as you know your spouse or your future spouse is with you, and there is no, you know, the whatever the look is just living up, first of all, a fantasy, number one, and then she knows how you are react, how your body language is going to be. And it's very out there in the open. There's no surprises. There's no wondering. It's out there.
Wait. You bought your wife a lap dance?
And then she bought me a lap dance.
Damn, man, you got something I don't have. I don't have stuff like that. I can't do that. And
Are you still married to her now?
In my opinion, that's a gift.
For other circumstances, we're no longer married. But we were able to share our fantasy to, you know, towards each other without having any problems, you know. And then she was able to sometimes have the talk or whatever she wanted to do. And then I knew from the get-go that this was just something that was staying in the bedroom. You know, we are very strong to say whatever happened in Vegas stays in Vegas. For us, is whatever happened in the bedroom stays in the bedroom.
Understood. Mm-hmm. And whatever happened in the back seat of the car stays in the back seat of the car.
Exactly.
Understood. Now, has anybody heard the saying from someone's parents to their son, "I'm giving you this car, but be careful, you were conceived in the back seat"?
No, I haven't heard that one either.
Yeah,
but it is a funny thought.
yeah. It definitely is. So back to the fantasy part. And that could be a fantasy of one's woman, one's wife, in reference to going to see male dancers. And I applaud the gentleman for definitely experiencing that both ways with him and his wife. And I'm pretty sure right around then they were pretty close because there was nothing withheld. You see what I'm saying? They put all their fantasies on the table and then they went to pursue them. And I think, you know, just my opinion, that gives you a leg up on the next question that I'm getting ready to ask. And is it offensive to have a talk about wild sex with your wife?
What?
Is
I guess
sensitive?
That depends on the caliber of girl you're with.
There is no.
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
I don't think so. I mean, I guess it depends on the caliber of the girl you're with. If she's shy and remote, you know, I guess that just depends on the caliber of the girl you're with.
Is it safe to say that if she's shy and remote, that conversation never comes up? Because of the nature of her, but these are things that you want to experience with your spouse?
I think that you just have to handle it on a day-to-day basis and dive into it a little bit at a time if she's a shy and remote type person. That ain't something you just want to drop on her.
I don't care how shy she is. You can have that conversation, but I think it will only become offensive if y'all not
in tune with each other.
Exactly. If your relationship is sort of, you know, on the rocks or whatever, that would be definitely offensive because they'll be perceived is that that's all that's on your mind, wild sex, and you know we're having these issues, you know, so it would be sort of insensitive. So that would only be the only time, you know, that it'd be offensive when you're not in a, you know. You're not
I personally thought he was going to ask about toys.
Right.
You can
bring,
you know,
bring out the
yeah.
pack box.
What did you want to play, but you don't?
Yeah, toys are definitely in the wild sex category.
Definitely.
For sure. For sure. You know, so let's just say we marry this quote unquote church girl.
That's the best part of this.
Yeah, well, you know. I mean, some people would say that. And you don't really know what you have. You don't know what you have because you don't know exactly how to come across with some of these things that you've been thinking about or that you're used to. Ooh. And you say, okay, I want this quality person that's not out in the street, that loves the Lord, that whatever the case may be, volunteers in the church, whatever. How do you break it down to her and say, okay, but I need more oral pleasure? When you know this is something that she may say, I don't know about that. But it's something that you want.
There's Bible verses, I'm sure that can back that up. How about the, you know, my flesh is your flesh, you know, my needs are your needs. I'm certain there's some scripture that can back that up.
I agree with you about the Bible scripture, but I can tell you that from the previous experience with the first wife, that ain't cutting it.
No, that's not cutting it.
18 months. 18 months, brother, 18 months. I told her some things didn't change, I was going to change. And at the end of 18 months, I wasn't lying. That cost me a divorce.
I'm sorry, guys, but I've known most church girls in my lifetime. There was a reason why they went to church, because they were trying to get rid of that freakiness.
That was my point.
And they were like that before, so it shouldn't be a problem.
So it's the former freak turned church girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not all of them. Some were just brought up straight in the church.
Yeah, I think Andrew was. Well, we know about the ones that, you know, preachers' daughters. Let me not slander all preachers' daughters, but you know, but I would just say that, you know, literally, like I think Andrew was alluding to earlier, you have this former, you know, who say maybe she meets you and she say, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, I don't want to do all that stuff I used to do. I want to, you know, become the quote-unquote church girl. I think that's what you're alluding to, Mr. Host.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, if that's the case, if your desires are her desires, that God's going to ultimately change the way you think and believe anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. Ryan, this goes back to the prenup conversation, man. You're supposed to have that conversation before you get married about what your needs are and, you know, how... You know, she's willing to, to go to pleasure you. I mean, essentially, you have a good idea of, you know, what you like and what you don't. So, I mean, these are all very important conversations that I believe you should be having, you know, before you even get to the marriage.
Yeah, good words.
Yeah, but how many of us don't have it? Because we don't really want to expose that side of us, and we don't want to scare her away.
Mm.
I mean, because some of us got some fetishes that might be downright scary to a woman.
Especially the church girl.
Especially the church girl.
The recently converted church girl.
Yeah.
But how many of us get married and then things change sexually in the bedroom?
What?
Most.
It was, well, you know, I just did that to get you. That was a setup.
According to scripture, if we was living according to scripture and never experienced sex before marriage, we wouldn't have that issue anyway, would we?
Okay, let's be real though. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was not me.
We all men and we have experienced that beforehand, but what if you know somebody that lived it until they were there? What if I told you I have a friend that was 43 years old before he got married and never experienced sex until he got married, and he is not a liar?
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I just know my friend. I know him personally. I mean, I'm telling you. I used to think, you know, oh, man, this dude's got issues or whatever, and his goal and desire was to serve God, period, and be obedient to God until he got married. I'm telling you right now that we went on a double date one time, and my partner had this girl that was all on him, all over him, and he was like, put on the brakes. And he took her to her house and dropped her off now. That's how serious he was about it.
Somebody made a movie about that, 40-year-old virgin.
It may not be a reality for most people, but it does still happen.
I'm sure it does.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to that point. That wasn't how I was raised.
I fell short.
Nope.
It's a nice way to say it, but reality, I don't see it happen with a whole lot of dudes.
People.
Okay.
But if we,
yeah, I mean,
if we had lived according to Scripture, think about this. It wouldn't be an issue, would it?
No. Well, if
you
Adam
don't know about, you can't miss.
If Adam never ate the fruit, it wouldn't be an issue either. But the real world is that's not what's happening.
I agree. Nice.
Surprises me.
You know?
Good word. Good word, Andrew.
Completely. I mean, that's not reality, but...
Yeah, that's obviously you want to teach the girl, but you got to be real. There are a whole bunch of dudes on this call that got married as virgins.
Not me.
Not me.
When I do get married, I'm disqualified.
You didn't get married?
No, I said when I do get married in a few months, it won't apply to me.
So are you a virgin now?
Excuse me?
You a virgin now?
Am I a virgin? Nah.
He's in the club, brother. He's in the club with us. Trust me, he's in the club. He's in the club. Certain things change, yes. Certain things do change, you know, but do we revisit that once we get married is the question.
I think that there's a part of us that wants to revisit that.
Good words. When we talk about importance in marriage when it comes to sexuality and pleasing our wives, does the conversation of her orgasm come up on a regular basis? Or is it just in something that we just don't discuss and we just try to achieve it, whether it happens or not, we just kind of take the conversation off the table and just try to go about handling our business? How important is that in our everyday sexuality in our marriage?
Very.
The woman's orgasm.
I think that's incredibly important.
Important.
Be where you are when you make that happen.
Say it again. I didn't hear what you said.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah. I didn't hear what the question was.
The importance of the female, the wife's orgasm.
No, I said that I think that that's highly important, and somebody else said something that I didn't hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said I think that's very important. You get more what you want when you're able to achieve that that goal.
Yeah. Now you're right, and it is very important. But why do we consistently talk about the change that happens in sex after marriage? If the female orgasm was that important, I think that they would be more ready to have more intimacy with us on a regular basis. And now we have to deal with something totally different, where it's some people will complain if they get it. They're happy to get it twice a month.
I think that's because... the communication goes away from the sex once you get married after a while. It's the, okay, we're on schedule, let's get one in and then go to sleep.
Oh.
I think women just have so much other stuff on their mind versus, I think I gave you all the statistics a while back about how often men think of sex every day versus how often women think of shopping, I think it was. I can't, y'all have to get the tape. But, literally, the women have so much other stuff on their minds, and it's not I mean, they're not thinking, we have to remember, they're not thinking, you know, oh, it's been a week, I need to have sex with my husband. They just like, I got stuff to do. I got this appointment, I got this place to go to tomorrow, I got dishes to wash, clothes to fold, you know, dinner to cook, you know, I got a project due or whatever the case may be. So they're not thinking about it from that aspect. And, you know, we have to, you know, just kind of, you know, do what we can to make sure we make sure that their focus is right and get the ambiance and all that good stuff, because they're not thinking about it like we think about it. So that's where the disconnect comes in.
You got
to be careful. I mean, I'm sure that there are some men that have that issue. I don't have that issue. I'm very fortunate.
But you got to be careful, gentlemen, when we start talking about our wives' priorities, because I'm gonna throw a question out there. Since when has a PTA meeting become more important than your woman having an orgasm?
Oh, good question.
I don't know about that one, man.
But see, that's all about her priorities and not your priorities.
Okay.
You know, sometimes she might feel that what's going on with, you know, daughter and son and getting to the PTA meeting is more important than, you know, what she's needing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of women sacrifice themselves for their kids, period. Their
yep.
kids are always going to come first. That's the mother nurturing inside of them. That's always going to be first.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to be able to beat that. You can't beat that. You didn't carry that baby for 9 months. You can't win.
But that's not right, though.
All right.
Because we
that's
came before the babies. You know, the commitment was made to us before the kids, or, you know, if you did it that way, but I mean, not saying anything if you didn't, but the reality is that, you know, the first and foremost should be your spouse, both ways, husband and wife, and then the kids are secondary.
I'm in agreement with you, but that's not reality. I'm in agreement with you, but that's not reality. Here's a perfect example. My fiance and I at this moment just recently went through some major drama to the point that we split up. Because we get back together, because her grown men, when I say grown men, I'm talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old men, one of the three was cut from the cord, sufficient, doing what they had to do, but the other two holding on like, Mommy, I need fed. Mommy, I need a place to stay. Mommy, come bail me out of jail. And I basically told her that I ain't got a problem with you supporting your kids. I ain't got a problem with you being there for your kids, but when it comes time for them to grow up, the best thing you can do is cut the strings.
Let me stop you right there, because you said the key word. You said that that's your fiance. You haven't taken first place yet.
Well,
you become
I have
the husband.
Now.
You know, when you become the husband, you know, I don't know if y'all married or not now, but that's when you get.
It.
Yeah, that's when you get first place. So I mean, technically, you know, if you got a situation where, you know, you got kids involved and you're dating or engaged or whatever, I mean, I think that the kids are still primary until the couple says, I do.
I'm in agreement with you, but when the kids are in a manipulation factoring and they're just using them, because, see, she makes big money. She's a nurse. And they just look at her like a money bag. They it ain't about their needs. It's about their wants, not their needs. And it's a whole other ball game. If it was what you're saying it was, I'm in agreement with you. But when the kids was manipulating and using, here's a perfect example. 20-year-old that ain't got no business drinking anyway, even though I know we all been there before, but up in the house, he ain't got no place to stay, he ain't got no job, he flops from house to house to house, wherever he can flop, middle of the night, coming in, getting drunk, thinking he's going to come up in here, laying in here, eating, raiding the refrigerator, and then, you know, creating havoc because he's drunk and creating and drama. No, that ain't happening. He's not going to just continue to disrespect this house and disrespect you and come up in here, you know what I'm saying, and then go to jail the next day and then you have, no, quit enabling him. When you quit enabling him and you force him to grow up and be a man, he's going to be a man. And that's where the conflict came in at, because she wasn't ready to let her men be men. And I basically told her that I ain't ever going to try to come between you and your kids, but the problem is that I'm not going to continue to let them take advantage of you. And it took us separating for her to understand that I was serious, number one, and then it took the reality of once I was gone, all the stuff that I was saying to her to come to light, that she realized that everything I was telling her was true, that she finally realized that, you know, that she did need to cut the drawstrings, and it did make a big difference in our relationship.
Yeah, because she got to be taking some steps for when you do become first place, that she can go ahead and, you know, clip those wings. But, you know, again, I think that the conflict is because technically you're not first place yet. The kids still, you know, and granted they're older and of age, and but until you, if it will be problematic when you're the husband and these are your, you know, you've brought the whole family together, you know, you're the husband, you're the head of household, and then she's still enabling, you know, the grown kids. That will be problematic. But I think in this case, since you are still her fiancé, you know, the kids are her primary responsibility, even though they're adults.
I'd have to say that I agree with you, but I also disagree with you. You just have to be here to understand the situation. Perfect example, when you kick young man out for being drunk, he ain't got no reason, just crashed out here, she kicked him out. That wasn't me. That was on her own doing. Young man went out and kicked a big old side panel on a brand new car. $1,200 later, he ain't got no job. We got to fix that. Who do you think's going to pay for that? Me.
How you got to pay for that? That man 19, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He ain't got no job, and she ain't going to be driving around with no dent in her car.
And plus, she make big money, so.
Well, she does make big money, but I paid for that.
Oh, that was your car.
Yes,
our car. Somebody else and got arrested.
Well,
you get it out of there.
See him do it, I only found it out the next day. If I'd have seen him do it, he would have been in jail.
Yeah. I mean, it's still commendable, even though he's not married to her, but he's still laying the law down and saying, well, this is how it's going to be. This is the man that I am. I'm involved. I'm not going to ride the back seat and watch you destroy whatever life that I'm getting ready to be into, so we need to have this conversation, you know? And I respect that. I respect that because a lot of times we don't when we're going into already ready-made family situations. Prior to getting married, we just kind of ride the back seat and say, well, I'm not going to stir up anything. You know, I'm not going to come in here and start making demands and stuff, and I don't have both feet and, you know, in the door. You know, but he's definitely, you know, using his head of household presence to say, okay, this is how I'm going to roll, and this is what we're going to tolerate, and you're my woman, and I'm not going to allow anybody to just run over you.
You know, here's another example. 20 years old, looking at women like they're flesh, meat puppets, coming up in here, C word this, C word that, whatever, B word, all in front of mama's face. Mama says, I didn't raise you to act like that, don't talk like that, and instantly disrespect says it right out of his mouth again. Ain't going to tolerate it. Sorry. You're not going to just come up in here running stuff like you think you're running something. And that's why we have a resistance. Even though the kids don't realize this, I love them like they were my own and will gladly accept them like my own and have rushed into my pocket like they were my own, bailed them out of jail and all the other happy horse crap that comes along with it. And still the tolerance, you know, the disrespect continues to come forth because I'm making noise, she's making noise, and finally when the noise comes into place, they want to retaliate. You know, for example, 2 weeks ago they broke into the house and stole all my video games. I ate about $4,000.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you know what I told them? I said, that stuff is replaceable. That stuff ain't nothing to me. That's just, you know, that stuff is nothing. Here's what I still have. You ain't going to just, because they thinking that they're going to just continue to do dirt and I'm just going to leave her again. We've decided we're not going to let the kids separate us. We're not going to go there no more, period. And once they found that out, the garbage stopped.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. They don't even come and call by. They don't call unless they, you know, truly need something. They don't call no more. And they'll come around. They'll grow up.
Good words. Yeah.
Video games back, dude?
Nope, I ain't replaced my video games. As a matter of fact, to be honest, it was a complete blessing. Because they was just sucking up all my time, keeping me away from what I'm supposed to be doing, which is working on my ministry, period.
Absolutely. What did Andrew say? You have something that I don't? I can't just take an L like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I understand it's replaceable, but, yeah, that's just too disrespectful. You know what I mean?
The difference is that I'm 43 now and I'm not 20. Oh, don't get me wrong. I was mad. Angry. Beyond angry. Ready to go wrench somebody's head off of their shoulders.
But then I have to ask myself, you know, are they worth going to jail for? No. Who would have won in that situation, them or me? They would have. And they would have gotten exactly what they wanted because that's exactly the behavior that they were expecting to, that's exactly the behavior that they were expecting out of me. They were expecting me to put on my boots, strap up, and go kick some butt. And I basically surrendered it and let God have it, and that's the way it ended. And once I gave it to God and I was at peace with it, then I realized how much of a blessing it was to me because it was just a distraction from my life. Because right now I'm working on a master's degree. I'm putting together a ministry. I ain't got time to be having my nose stuck up in the video games. So to be honest, it was a blessing in disguise.
Wow.
I don't agree with that.
You say you do or you don't?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You got to protect yourself and your family, especially when you're trying to make yourself better. There's always going to be somebody who's going to try to stop that. And your old unsaved self is to go and kick some tail. But you got to realize that what you're hurting and who you're going to hurt if you take that road.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, think about this, studying to be a minister. What do I need in a newspaper? I got people that I'm dealing with on a daily basis on a business level, a spiritual level, a professional level, aside from what I'm doing for my ministry with my own business. The last thing I need is to have that in the newspaper. It wouldn't have helped. And so basically I let go and let God, and that's the way it worked out for me.
Good words, good words. And again, man, highly commendable, highly commendable. And I think she knows who she has in a man, and she definitely appreciates it. That's why she definitely tried to reconcile the first separation and get that thing back going to where it needs to be. And some women look for that. Some women look for some man to just come in and take charge, you know. I think that's a good thing. It is now 10 o'clock, and what we're going to do now is we're going to move to the 10 o'clock monkey wrench. But this is going to be a little different monkey wrench. So I want y'all to hold on for just 1 second. Okay, I got the monkey wrench, but for some strange reason, it's not working correctly. So just bear with me.
Survey by the website iVillage finds about two-thirds of the women questioned would rather be doing something other than having sex with their spouse. But the survey has some good news as well, and here to discuss it are iVillage editor Liz Zack and Ian Kerner, therapist and author of Love in a Time of Colic. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, this survey asked 2,000 women various questions. I want to put some information up on the screen, and then we'll talk about it.
Great.
70% of the women surveyed said they were happy with their sex life. That's the good news. The bad news is 63% of the women said they would rather be sleeping, reading, or watching movies. Ian, let me begin with you. What does this mean?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say I'm a dad. I have two kids, and a lot of men out there would also prefer sleep or books. On the serious side, I kind of look at this as a sort of, you know, bad news. I mean, you may say you're happy with your sex life, but in the end, if night after night you're consistently picking a book, TV, Facebook, digital network, any distraction that's out there over intimacy with your partner, I think in the long run your relationship could suffer and could become vulnerable to things like infidelity. So I think you have to put sex at the center of your relationship.
How do you do that?
I mean, I think one of the things that this study really showed, we talked to 2,000 women at iVillage Pregnancy and Parenting, is that this is normal. I mean, who can't relate to that stat that sometimes you and your partner, your biorhythms are just a little bit off, and sometimes you'd rather finish your book than
it's normal, get to it. I think Liz is right. It's normal, but I think it's also a little lazy. You know, I think your sex life is sort of like going to the gym. You got to get back into the routine, and it's a little hard at the beginning, exactly. But once you do it, it's like, try it. You'll like it. You'll want to, you know, keep going to the gym.
Okay, the next finding I want to put up on the screen says 48% of the women surveyed said they married the best sex of their lives. However, 62%
said they fantasize about having sex with someone other than their husband. This is not good, Liz.
I actually don't think fantasizing about other people in bed is all that bad. One of the other really interesting, and Ian can certainly speak to that, but one of the other really interesting things that we found is that although 77%, some incredibly high percentage of women were really happy with their sex life, almost 80% of women rated their sex lives as predictable in some way, whether it's, they keep doing it the same night of the week, the same position, the same room of the house. That predictability didn't affect their happiness.
All right, let me turn to you, Ian. Is it bad if this large chunk say they're fantasizing by having sex with someone other than their husband?
You know, I think it's really normal. A lot of women do fantasize during sex very often about somebody other than the person that they're sleeping with, and I actually think it's okay. I think fantasies are taboo for a reason. We have these taboos in our minds and our imaginations, and we don't act them out in life, so I think that there's a nice...
Okay, fellas, I had to let that one go because it's getting a little lengthy. But anybody hear about the fact where they say that most women, 63% of the women, fantasize about other men while they're making love to their spouse?
Yeah.
Is that even acceptable?
No.
Okay, but it's happening. There's a large portion of women that say that they'd rather be doing something else other than having sex. And I think that goes back to what Rodney was saying earlier with the priorities and the list of responsibilities and all these other things that they get involved with that takes their mind off of the freakiness and the pleasing their man issue.
I think it probably depends on who that man is, too, because I don't think the brothers would mind if it was a choice between a celebrity or the dude at the office. You know, I think that you would rather it be a celebrity that she's fantasizing about, because that's not as problematic as my man at the office.
Yeah, but the problem is that you won't know.
Wow.
The problem is you won't know, and then if she did say something and while you're in the middle of that, you got a whole nother issue now.
Especially if Mr. Man at the office is Skato.
Yeah, especially if he works at Ding-a-Ling's or Us.
Okay.
But I have to say, I have to believe the women when they say they get sick of doing the same thing too.
Well, yeah. That's why date night is so important.
You know?
Okay.
I think we had this conversation a long time ago of going back and courting and dating the wife and not just leading sex into the bedroom behind the closed door. So maybe another room in the house. Maybe a little time. You know, take a long lunch and go pick your wife up. Take her to the hotel. Something spontaneous is what women look for.
Here's a question for you in regards to spontaneity for the bedroom. If your relationship before you get married is all about the sex and you don't get to know who your spouse is as a person and it's all about the sex, what consequences are you going to pay for that once you get married?
Well, I mean, there are definitely going to be some consequences, but we can't fool ourselves and say that the sex isn't
right.
Have a percentage, let's just say, of our reason for marrying this person. It's definitely a factor.
Well, a big factor.
You see,
I mean, like
saying?
I told you about my previous wife, you know what I'm saying? I told you that I was looking for somebody else, and I didn't even play about it. I told her, I'm done. I'm looking for somebody new. And it was because I respected my ex-wife and told her the reality of it so that it wasn't about cheating and going behind her back. She had nothing but accept it. As a matter of fact, it was the best move I made because there towards the end, before she finally got her stuff together and moved out,
new girl and my ex-girl were best friends, which is kind of odd in itself, but the fact is that because I didn't play her and kept it real and said, look, you know what I'm saying, I want out, I want a divorce, I'm going to start searching for somebody else, you know, it was the best move that I ever made because my ex-wife respected the fact that I was real. You know, I didn't play her like Joe Donut and just start screwing around.
Good words. Good words. So that's pretty much what it is then. Honesty, I guess, at that point, because it will come up. I mean, you know, we've been on enough of these calls to know that the changes do happen. Like Andrew said earlier, women do certain things to get the ring, things that they don't even want to do. You know what I mean? Things that they don't even want to do. And then later on the line, down the line, it all comes out because these things stop happening. And then you're like, what happened? But, you know, so then sometimes we have to take those measures of if you're not going to, somebody else is going to. I mean, there's never a good thing to say, but, you know, some people say what they're feeling. You know, and sometimes, you know, that is the only language that some women will understand when you let them know that you're putting your man back out on the block. In other words, you're making me go out and start looking for something that I wanted that you promised me that I was going to have that I'm no longer getting.
Oh, can I throw a small one out there?
Yeah, oh, throw a small one.
That kids get born, wife's reading the book, you watching the game. What about role play, man? Bringing fun back into sex. You know, hey, I'm going to be Tarzan, you be Jane. I'm going to swing from this rope right here. And I'm going to tackle you in his own, you know. Dress up role play.
You're right, but again, you got to be careful. Because had you had the conversation prior to the marriage that you like role playing, and now again you're 5 years in, and now you want to go to the Walmart and start buying some Halloween costumes.
And you tend, wait a minute. I'm saying you're ten years in, and the sex is getting boring, and now you introducing this for the first time. Not at the beginning, but say, hey, let's try something.
She might want you to role play the guy in the office.
Hey, fellas, can we?
But would that be okay? If that's going to get you what you want and get her what she wants, is that okay?
That's on your level of maturity and whether you can handle it or not.
Now, y'all brothers talk about going to, they ain't have no problems playing, you know, going to Ding-a-Lings or us, but have a problem with, you know, dressing up as Steve at the office. I don't understand.
That's a mutual agreement. And you down in your basement in your office and you acting like you're the boss and she's the, you know.
Well, think about it like this. I mean, here's something that I do on occasion for my girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm a full-time student now, so I got a lot of time more to deal with things around the house than normal. And there's days, man, that I just, like, you know, call it, think about whatever you want, but, like, I'll clean the whole house so that when she gets home, she ain't got to mess with none of that. I meet her at the door in a suit and tie, candles all lit up all over the house, the bathroom is all bubbly, foamy and everything, and take her butt right up into the bedroom, or take her after, you know, we dancing in the living room, all the way up into the bathroom, and I'm washing her. She dug it. You know what I'm saying? I created the fantasy, and I didn't have to ask. I didn't have to put it out there. It wasn't anything that she didn't expect except to just be treated like a queen.
Yeah, but right. You went the safe route. Tarzan is something you have to have a few conversations about.
Well, yeah, but...
You know, right. Before you go to Walmart and get the
role play. Role play is being that Romeo and Juliet, Cinderella, making your wife, I mean, without saying it.
Role play. I mean, it was role play. Basically, I told her I was her slave for the night. Whatever she wanted, she got.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it might flop if you don't. I mean, if you don't have that conversation, She look at you like Tarzan. What are you talking about?
I agree.
No, I mean, but can we get down to the substance of the original question? The original question is it, you know, why is it that women, you know, while they'll say they're happy with their sex life, 60% of them are thinking about other men, or and or you know, would rather be doing something else. I mean, yeah, we can talk about the role play. We can talk about the you know, the pampering them every once in a while, but on a consistent basis, can we tackle? What is the actual rationale for why, you know, I mean, during the most intimate point in our relationship, during, you know, what's supposed to be a gift from God, you know, during that point in time, are women not having orgasms and are thinking about being with other men, or, you know, would rather be doing something else? I mean, because I just think that's a deeper issue than, you know, what we're really making of it right
Thank
now.
Thank you.
But you just said the key word. You know, you said the intimate relationship. There's no intimacy. If your lady is thinking about somebody else, you know, or just thinking about reading a book, or, you know, what's she going to make for dinner tomorrow? I mean, you get, it's a lack of intimacy when we talk about, you know, on these calls every week. So, I mean, that is the problem because, you know, you talk about sex, or we talking about, you know, what you're getting at is making love, you know, when there's a level of intimacy, you know, with your wife. And
I have to agree with you, sir, because basically I hate to say this, and I hate to be stereotypical of men because I am a man, but... And I basically believe that there are a lot of men and it's all about them. And I believe that, you know, they don't take the time to be intimate with their wife and they could care less if they get off. I mean, I'm not saying that that's true of the men in this room because the men in this room obviously have, you know, desires to make sure that their relationship works out. But I believe that the majority of men are self-centered and ain't about what they care about, what their female thinks. It might be in the beginning. But once they got what they wanted, it don't make a difference because they got her.
Yeah, one thing I'm gonna start instituting in my household is we ain't watching TV till you get tired. You know, let's mm-hmm. talk. You know, let's talk about your day because it comes down to it where you're watching your favorite TV shows and then when it goes off, oh, man, I'm dead tired.
Man, I'm glad you said that, man. It works. You know?
It works. Just cutting the TV off, right?
And she came in the other day, and the first thing that she wants to do is turn on the TV. And you know what I told her? We ain't watching TV tonight.
Yep. Mm. Yep. And like Tony's, like the host says, because I said so.
That's right.
Now,
yeah,
Roddy,
there ain't nothing wrong with that, but you got to have a justification and a reason for that.
Yeah.
And at first she was tripping, like, what you mean we ain't watching TV?
Mm-hmm.
Are you coming up in here, flopping down, watching TV till you go to bed?
Yep.
I want to spend some time with you, period.
Yep.
I could care less about Dr. Phil and that all.
But see, that right there is a direct reflection on the question. Why does she want to watch TV?
Right.
Why does she want to come in and watch TV when you're there?
Her explanation is she just wants to come in from work and unwind. I get that. But don't make the TV, you know, don't make the TV the excuse for the unwinding so that we ain't got a communication going on.
Yeah, and I think once she comes in, especially right in, you know, she may not want to, she may want to have that TV where it's just communicating, you know, it's talking to her and she doesn't have to respond. She can just sort of absorb it. Whereas if she's talking to you, there's got to be some dialogue, she got to think a little bit. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And she may not be willing to do that right after a hard day, you know, of work or whatever. So, on the flip side,
she did protest, but once we flipped that TV off and once we got into communication mode, we had some of the deepest conversation that we've had in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a good thing for us. You know, she protested in the beginning. I ain't going to lie, but once the thing got into the swing of it, she was good with it. You know, and I'm glad.
Yeah, about the Institute, you know, if you...
I respect the fact that, you know, she works 10, 12, 18, 16-hour days sometimes, and when she's a nurse and she wants to come home and just gel, I ain't got a problem with that. But when gelling means that she's sitting on one side of the couch and I'm on the other and she ain't snuggling, that ain't happening.
Now, something that I haven't really heard on this call too much, and maybe you guys have said, maybe I could have overlooked it, but it goes back to the topic. All men love freaks, they just don't want for a wife, which I think is totally inaccurate. But but
no, wait a minute. I think you got some disagreement there.
Okay.
I agree that men, we didn't marry the freak, and it's a reason for that.
Okay.
I think that's what we're missing, is that chick that was doing all them tricks, or, you know, you can get it. Now, we talked about that chick, you can get it in between classes. We didn't marry that chick. And it's a reason. Y'all say, oh, yeah, I would, you know. Well, you would have married her if it was that serious. If it was that good, you would have married her. That's all I'm
saying. Well, let me share something with you. You don't know who you married if you ain't bring it out of her.
Keep thinking of that Beyonce song, Should Put a Ring on It.
You don't know. You don't see, a lot of us don't know who we married because there's certain things we just haven't brought out of her yet.
Right.
And that's the essence of what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
You may have that freak.
You may have that.
But you never know because you've never taken it there. And what we do is we sit around and complain, man, my wife ain't doing this, she ain't doing that, she ain't doing that. But what she's trying to see, they have that different language than us. And there's certain things that they want. And when you talk about the intimacy piece, how do we know that we're doing the things that she believes is intimate, that really presses her buttons? You know, we could be doing the stereotypical, you know, get the bath water ready, bring some flowers home, XYZ, whatever it is that we do, and thinking that that's what's pressing her buttons without ever having the conversation. Like, honey, what's going to make you, you know, want to get busy tonight?
That's a good point. I think that you're right on it there, host.
I mean,
I've been with my girl for 4 years, man, so, I mean, it's not like I don't know.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I ain't got to worry about every man loves a freak who doesn't want to marry her. I got the freak. I mean, I got what I want, so I ain't worried about that.
But again,
good words. Good
we
words.
Gotta remember that you're not married yet. So, I'm saying, bro, you know, once you get married, you come back, it's like, oh, man, you know what happened? Because you run the bathwater, had a suit on, and she's like, you know what, I want to watch Dr. Phil. Get out of my way, dude.
Honest, that's her now.
That's the issue. But see, Rodney, that's what I'm trying to tell you. But that's the issue. What that's saying is, see, when you talk like that, what that's saying is certain things aren't happening. There's certain things aren't happening.
Yeah.
All women have it in them. It's like all men have it. We have it in us. Trust me. All women have it in them. And it's our job to bring it out.
Yeah. It's intimacy. And I think the brother, he's probably not on here, but the brother who talked about the 40-day sex fast, I mean, now that would be something that I wouldn't want to try. But after he laid his story out and he talked about how after the 40 days that his wife was just, I mean, they were just like at each other because they developed, through that 40-day sex fast process, they developed a level of intimacy without the whole sex,
involved. I'm so glad you said that.
I'm not.
You know what, man? I know that you don't think about that, and I know that you think that would be rough, but at this moment in time, I want to share something with you. God is pressing me to be abstinent from her until we're married because I'm in seminary, okay? Now, keep in mind that it's not about what my flesh wants. It's about what God is pressing me to do. But I will tell you this much. We have taken strides towards that and we have had sabbaticals from sex, not necessarily 40 days. I'm trying to be obedient, but I'm still flesh. I'm still not perfect yet. But I will tell you this. Every time that we have done that, the intimacy level in our relationship has gotten much better.
Exactly. You got to find different things to do. And I don't mean to get on your street, brother, but I just want to ask you, what are you waiting on to marry her? What is the holdup?
I'm in the process of filing for the divorce.
Okay.
It was about money. Kids. And she was on the same issue. And to be honest, what happened was, to be real honest, apart from her kids pressing the issue and getting all up in our grill, I believe that basically God was pulling us apart from each other because we weren't being obedient to the promises that we had made to God. We had both promised God that we'd hurry up and get divorces and get married, and here it was 3.5 years into the game, and neither one of us had gotten up off of our high horse and gotten the divorce or nothing. Now, since then... I've paid for the divorce. It's just a matter of getting the paperwork to the lawyer and getting the process started. You know what I'm saying? That's me dragging my feet, not necessarily because I don't want to. I got to sit down and do the paperwork, and hers is done. It's just a matter of getting the divorces and getting it over with.
Okay.
That's as real as it gets. Priorities and money.
Yeah, well, I'll say this back to the 40-day sex fast is that would you imagine how much your wife will respect you being that, as I said before, about how often we think about sex during the day, for you to approach her in a genuine way, not on some gimmick, you know, or something like that, and literally say, you know what, let's just, and put it to her like, I want to get our intimacy back. I want to get our communication back. Let's do a 40-day sex fast. Do you know how much y'all just don't know how that would drive your woman wild? Because she
would
thank you for that.
That is definitely
that's a gimmick.
That's
a gimmick.
I'm not going to try it at this stage, but I'm thinking about it. When the brother said it, I felt just like y'all did. I was like, man, this dude is off his rocker. I don't know what planet he was, you know, born on or raising or whatever. But after he relayed how his wife responded to him after the 40 years and going forward, how their level of intimacy improved over the years through their marriage. I mean, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. You know what I mean? You're just talking about
how to get to that point, though. But how did it get to that point? How did it get to that point where you got to take 40 days away from being intimate with your wife? How did it get to that point?
But it doesn't have to get to that point. Maybe it's about getting to a whole other level. Maybe it's not about why does it have to get to that point. What if it's about taking it to a whole other level?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, taking it to a whole other level with fiancé? Yes. I agree with that 100%. With your wife, I don't agree with that.
Exactly.
But what if you felt like you was
I think it could backfire on you.
It will backfire.
Oh, for sure. Because you did it once, guess what? You can do it again. Well, you did it for 40 days, now we can try it for 60 days.
Absolutely.
Y'all are missing the point. Y'all are looking at it from your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
What would your woman think? If you came to her, it's like, we need to get the intimacy back. Let's cut it for 40 days, and I'm serious.
I think I was straight talk.
Well, now,
you know,
the thing is, they did it during ash. So if you think about what Jesus did, he did no water and no food for 40
days.
Wait a minute. Nobody on his phone is Jesus, man. I mean, let's keep it real.
Exactly.
Let's
stop.
Hold on.
What
did the brother say? He said it's all about going to the next level. It's not about staying stagnant.
Let's go back to the statistics.
A lot of us would stop.
The statistics
said 63%. I'm going to do chocolate.
Go back to the statistics. Somebody talking. Hold on. Go ahead.
Statistics says 63% of these women are already thinking of other men while they're making love to their man.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're waiting 40 days, you're putting her on a fast, Steve in the office going to look awfully good.
Y'all are thinking about it from your perspective because she might say, man, my husband looks really good today, but we can't get down for another 32 days.
I will say this, Rodney. I agree that probably work.
You feel me, brother?
But at the same time, I don't think that's a solution for every man.
No, I agree. Because the thing about it is that we're all at different levels on this phone, and that's what I'm saying is that brother was on a higher level than I am, because even as I say this, I'm not ready to go upstairs and be like, you know what, let's cut it for 40 days. I'll holler at you in August or whatever the case may be, you know.
But if you did the guy go into detail about how the fast went? I mean, did they just cut all sexual contact?
Yes.
I mean, not
yes.
even no foreplay, no
yes.
nothing.
Yes.
But you
that was a repairing situation, Rodney. You're not telling the whole story. That dude had intimate issues with his wife.
Yes.
So yes, that's an entirely
Thank
different
you.
Story.
But
Thank
y'all
you.
Are missing,
nobody's
all sex
life. If my sex life
know.
Is good, I'm gonna say, you know what? I want to go to an even better level and go 40 days
Thank
without
you.
This. Man, my wife, I mean, my fiance right now would slap this crap out of me.
But what are y'all missing is that we're all on this phone talking about the same thing. Is like we don't have the freak anymore, you know. And the host just said it's in them. But y'all like, well, where's the freak? You know, you're doing the same thing, and the definition of insanity
No. Hold on.
And expecting different results.
Rodney, I said it's in them, but I didn't say go around to Cleveland to bring it out of them.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. But and you're right that the brother's telling the story, he had a lack of intimacy, and I think that all of us have different levels of lack of intimacy in our marital relationships. So the point about it is that, yes, he had a problem, but he did something drastic. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe your wife ain't there yet. But the thing about it is, on the other side of the story, that brother, you could hear in his voice how the intimacy, how his wife, when she coming in, she got his bath water running, whatever the case may be, you know, so she jumping on him. And that's what y'all are talking about tonight, right? You're talking about where's the freak, you know, when you come to the office.
What I heard was a 40-day pain in his voice.
I'm the first one to say on these calls that, you know, brother needs to take responsibility for this, that, and the other. Because we talking to brothers, we ain't talking to the women on the call. So we need to man up, we need to do our part for getting. But in this particular case, I'm going to have to bend and say, how much? Because I know I'm hearing a whole lot of saying, you know, well, brother, you need to do this. You need to do a 40-day fast. You need to run some bath water. You need to do it in different rooms and things like that. But how much of this is the makeup of a woman?
Hey, I'm glad you said that's the whole part of the fast that you're missing. It ain't got to be 40 days. Let's talk about you talking about the point about the monkey wrench. The monkey wrench is, why is they thinking about others? Why is they not motivated to have sex?
Right.
Let's get back to the whole point. The point is that men, unfortunately, associate sex with intimacy.
Yep.
Women do not associate sex with intimacy. That is just a part of their internal makeup. So let's just take sex out of it for a minute. If you want to learn how to be intimate or to relate to your woman intimately, if you remove the sex from your life, and that's the only part of your position in life that makes it intimate, it forces you to create new understandings of what intimacy is all about.
Say that. Say that. I think they missed it. Say that.
Ronnie, be quiet, dude. Like, seriously, man. Seriously, be quiet.
That brother's telling the truth. Y'all know he's telling the truth.
But
I'm trying to figure out different things.
No,
you got to figure out different things.
Let me, I will give it to you as most personal as I can get, okay? This is as real as it gets. In my relationship, before we started making some of those moves, this is real. I felt like a meat puppet. I felt like I was only there to satisfy that particular part of the need. She didn't care about my finances. She didn't care about me helping out with this bill. She didn't care. That wasn't none of that. I felt that that was the only part of the need that I was filling, and it started to get old. Now, y'all can laugh about that, but the reality is that when you start feeling like the only thing that you're good for is a stroke in the bedroom, it gets old because it affects your own intimate inside. Tell you what the reality of it is. Once I started feeling like that was the way it was really going down, I had to reinvestigate the situation and the relationship and find out specifically why I was with this woman. Don't get me wrong. The sex is incredible. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we more than sex? Is our relationship based on more than sex? Is it somebody that I'm hanging out with, watching television with at night, or is it somebody that I want to be with the rest of my life? The opportunity is there. I wanted to find out if this was somebody that I wanted to be with the rest of my life. Yep. And the separation created the anxiety, not from the lack of sex. I could have gotten sex every day after we were separated. That wasn't the point. I mean, I had booty calls calling me like, oh, you and your girl ain't together no more. Without understanding what I was missing.
Brother, let me just come on the heels of that and throw it back out to the group, because somebody mentioned it earlier about maybe that's all you did have when y'all were dating was sex. You know, so now that the sex is gone, now that y'all married, you're like, hey, what's going on? You know?
You didn't have a
deep level of intimacy. And now you're like, man, we ain't got the sex nor the intimacy. What's going on here?
Ready?
How do you know they didn't have intimacy? How do you know
down the line and all of a sudden you have some type of erectile dysfunction that you can't fix? Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden you're stuck in a relationship that's based on sex, and that's all y'all had.
But was it no intimacy
before you get married?
Well, yeah, there's intimacy before you get married, but you have to learn how to be on. You have to learn how to be intimate beyond the bedroom.
No doubt, that's something you figure out before you get married. If you are really trying to figure out to the point where you have to take a 40-day fast from your wife, which is supposed to be, you all are supposed to be one together, you guys got bigger problems.
It's not about just...
That's not about... I'm saying there's a difference between taking time out. I understand you need intimacy above and beyond just sex. Yes, nobody wants to feel like a piece of meat. That's absolutely wonderful. I'm just saying I wouldn't advise someone who does, you know, have intimacy, who does have a good sex, just to say, well, you know what? I think I want to, you know, take things to the very next level. I wonder what would happen if we go a 40-day fast.
And nobody's saying that.
That's what you're saying, right?
Nobody's saying that.
Yeah, we want to take things to the next level.
Okay, so
you said next level.
Why do you have to do it 40 days? Why couldn't you just say, you know, Mama, I think that we have this incredible sex life. I think that it's a wonderful thing. I said, but what about this? I would like to find out what we can find out about each other intimately without being sexually intimate. It's going to change your whole perspective about her, and it's going to change her whole perspective about you.
And that's the point.
And
that's
then
the point.
It won't be a matter of a statistic in her head, because then it's not going to be about what she thinks you're thinking about, because she knows you're thinking about her. And it ain't going to be about what she's thinking about fantasizing about somebody, because now she's going to be focused on looking at a whole different aspect of the intimacy. It don't have to be 40 days. It can be a single day. It can be 3 days. It can be something that you do in increments.
Yeah.
It's a growth process.
But what does Tony always say? Turn over every stone. I mean, if that's what you got to do, and 40 days is a long time, and I'm not ready to sign up for it myself. But I'm just saying that y'all haven't even got to the point of thinking that it can work. Y'all are like, oh,
No, Rodney, you are definitely promoting this 40 days tonight, brother. You are promoting. I'm thinking you already on your 6th day. That's hard.
You don't even know it.
Let me ask you this. This is in general, not to you in particular, Rodney, but if your wife, if you're not getting none, let's just say for 2 weeks, 14 days, you ain't getting none, and the whole house is in shambles because of it. You got an attitude. You got the silent treatment going on. Y'all sleeping in separate rooms, or whatever the case is. You got issues with each other. What makes you think 40 going to work?
No, because, see, that's the difference, Rodney, is that the difference is that those 2 weeks probably just go by just through life. And it's like, wait a minute, it's been 2 weeks. With the 40 days, that brother had a conversation with his wife.
That's right. It's
going to do 40 days.
And that conversation
was horrible. It wasn't no, you know, the house wasn't in disarray and all this stuff. Like, what the heck is going on? It's been 38 days. It was none of that. He was like, we're going to go 40 days. You and me, we're going to do it. And this brother did. Listen, y'all.
There's more to it.
That's for the
question.
There's more to it.
I'll tell y'all there's more to it.
Okay, because I'm saying, has anybody asked the question?
Your house was a mess for 30 days and you wasn't getting no nookie for 2 months. You was already dysfunctional anyway.
Something ain't right.
Listen, let me tell y'all to finish telling y'all the story, because the brother said that the first time he tried it,
you
have successful. They were successful. And then the next year, they were unsuccessful. So even he was successful the first time and failed and was unsuccessful the second time.
Rodney, so, you're writing your own script to the story, dude. I don't remember it like that.
Y'all need to go back and listen to the tape, because that's what that brother said. I was there the whole time. What did you think he said?
Rodney, I was talking. I was listening to a guy who, you know, I mean, seemed like he was on his last dime, like he was just trying to figure out, you know, what was going on in his relationship, and he was willing to try anything. So,
that's what I heard too.
What does that mean? That meant that he loved her, but he didn't understand why they couldn't work it out
intimately,
right?
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to tell you is that in regards to the 40-day thing, the one young man said, you know what I'm saying, the house is shambles, she ain't setting it out, whatever. They already beyond, you know, they looking at beyond repair. They looking at having to get some professional counseling or something. You ain't talking about taking it to that level. You talking about doing something before it gets to that level. You talking about doing something to keep it from getting to that level. You're talking about learning a whole new aspect of her and her learning you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about denying yourself and her denying herself in order to learn about each other. Once you take yourself out of the equation, want to figure her out, that's how you, I'm not saying that that's the way. That's just one part of a solution that may work for you or may not.
Okay. That's cool. Some people can try it.
But listen, fellas, this is what y'all missing. If y'all were in that brother situation where you had a, like the brother said, if you had at a level of intimacy so low that y'all are drawing up the divorce papers or looking in the yellow pages or whatever, that's when you might think of this situation a little differently. And
sure,
it may come back to you. I'm not saying to do it now, tomorrow. I'm not even saying I'm going to do it. I'm just saying this brother had a situation where he had to take drastic ulterior motives. And he was like, you know what? Jesus denied himself. I'm going to deny myself. And y'all, I mean, I respect that brother because I still ain't there yet. But that's what y'all missed.
Yeah,
it's like,
right,
you
right,
know,
right,
y'all,
right,
y'all
right,
at a point where
right,
y'all are not at his level of the lack of intimacy in his relationship. That's what y'all not getting. Y'all are thinking that at your current level, high intimacy, middle intimacy, low intimacy, y'all are like, well, they ain't going
to. Is that level above or under?
On top or
no,
the bottom?
I'm okay. I completely understand a 40-day fast. Now, I'm not against it. Whether that's sex or anything else, I get it and where he's at. I guess ultimately what I'm saying, and I've been kind of having fun with and saying it, but nonetheless, you got to learn how to decipher what he's saying to Moses and what he's saying to you. What he said to Abraham, what he's saying to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not 99 and ready to have no baby. Right?
Don't get to heaven. Jesus look at you.
I'm where I am today, and he's saying to me what he needs to say to me. So the 40-day right now, I'm not receiving it because I don't believe that's him telling me. I'm hearing you tell me the story.
Y'all can get the tape, but just let me tell you this, and I'll be quiet, is that brother, at the end of his story, he said it worked for him. And that's
hey,
what I was like, wow.
Hey, Rodney.
This, yeah.
Rodney. Okay. You got intimacy issues with your wife. Not just you. Let's just say brother X got intimacy issues with his wife. Okay? He takes a 40-day fast with his wife. Okay? The absence of sex is definitely what's going to make them want it more in 40 days, 10 days, 20 days, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
When the 40 days are over, you're still going to, you may go at it. Like wild animals and get it on in 40 days. But the problems are going to come back. You know why? Because you have not found out what the hot buttons are. What makes your wife a freak? What makes her your personal freak? You haven't done it. That's why you're still going back to the same problems 40 days, 60 days, 80 days later.
Because during the 40-day process, that's what you're uncovering, or you would hope to uncover in 40 days. It shouldn't take you that long.
What, you going to be talking about it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Why not?
That's
the
whole 40 days of dialogue?
Why not? You know, as long as you're not, you know, commit, you know, going into it, it's like, hey, you know, somebody talked about fantasies. Why wouldn't you talk about fantasies?
You're going to talk about sex for 40 days but not have it.
Yeah. Oh, good.
It's
that's
rough.
No good, man. That's punishment, man.
It's rough. It's rough. And I don't know if that brother did it. Like I said, I'm not here to say that I got a medal or badge of honor that I did it or at a stage to try it. But, you know, that's what you uncover. You like, baby, you know, I cooked your dinner, got the candlelight. And she may say, well, all I need for you to do is just be a listening ear when I come home. And I don't need you to say nothing. I just need you to sit there and just listen to me, you know, vent. That's what she needs. And
think about this. The one young man said about Jesus talking to Moses and Abraham. Let's put it, if you really want to talk about that level, put it like this. Okay? I will give you a personal life experience that changed my life. Okay? I could not break free from sex addiction. That's honest and real. Okay? And I kept throwing it up to God. You a man of miracles. When are you going to take this from me? When are you going to help me with this? I've been praying about this since I was 13 years old. When are you going to take this from me? And it took me 39 years to figure this out. I had to learn how to deny my flesh before I would be given the things that I was asking for. Obedience equals transformation. Okay? So here's what I'm going to tell you. If Jesus died on the cross, and that's what you believe in, and he ultimately gave the sacrifice of his life for us, and that's what he did. He surrendered his life for us. And think about it. While he was on the cross, he was beaten, bloody, completely. He was completely abandoned by his father because he was so dirty he couldn't be looked upon. And he was carrying the entire weight of the world of the sin on his shoulders. He felt abandoned. He was all alone. And he did that for us. If he can do that for us, why can't we deny our flesh and long enough to be able to get in tune with our wife, our girlfriend, our fiance's personal needs? The whole point about it is not us suffering for 40 days. It's not about putting her on restriction. It is a committed idea to work towards a goal, a common goal. It's, you know, you got to have the communication and breakdown in there. If you got a breakdown and you just deny each other sex for 40 days, you're going to have failure. But if you work on a common goal during the 40 days, the 3 days, 1 day, whatever it is, and you decide that we want to learn how to become more intimate with each other without the sex, you are going to benefit. When you deny yourself and she denies herself, and let's just put it like, what does this say? What if you wanted to create a relationship that was stronger towards God? That changes the whole perspective on it.
Well, if you're going to be committed,
sex, which isn't right, in my opinion. I mean, I think there's so many other issues, I think, that you could probably get rid of. For instance, how about we say, you know what, we're no longer going to watch TV. We're no longer going to eat steak. I mean, I just think, hey, why is it that sex has to be the first thing to go? It's as if we identify it, even when we're married, as wrong. Hey, we don't have intimacy in our relationship, so hey, well, how about we just take out the sex? I mean, I just think that's the wrong way to look through the telescope.
Amen.
No, I'm what you're married is that
there's probably a number of other things that you can eliminate.
Well, how do you know that brother didn't eliminate all those things prior to eliminating the sex? That's what y'all don't know. I'm just speaking third hand from y'all can hear what he said, but I remember what he said, but he didn't go into, oh, well, I cut off the steak, we cut off the TV, we cut off the internet, then we cut off the, I mean, we don't know his whole story.
That's
right. What I'm saying is that is your relationship worth doing all that?
And I think when you're basing your relationship on the sex and the sex alone, you're not going to find the intimacy that you're looking for.
Who said anything about basing your relationship on just sex, especially when you're married? I'm just saying that you can't look at sex as if it is a absolutely bad thing. Hey, you know what? We're missing intimacy, so let's just get rid of sex. No,
nobody's saying that.
Nobody's saying sex is bad.
So why give it up for 40 days?
But
right.
It's all about growth.
Okay, hold on.
Can I ask a question? Why does God place so much emphasis on the fact that the only time you're supposed to be separate from one another is in fasting and praying, and other than that, come back together lest you be tempted of the devil, right? So why is it that we always put sex at the forefront of something that we have to, you know, remove when God says it's important?
That's correct.
That's my point.
Correct. That's what we've been saying.
Let me say this.
Dad.
I'm just not. Bradley, help me out, please.
I'm going to help you out. Right?
I know you're going to help me out.
all jokes aside, and Tony, you know this maybe better than anyone else on the call with me, is that you have to exhaust. I hear people say, well, I've exhausted all my resources. So I definitely feel this, brother, because you never fully exhaust all your resources. And then this is one of those instances where we feel like, hey, this is just absolutely absurd. But the brother is saying, what I hear the brother saying without even hearing the conversation is, I got another resource. At the time I should be going through with the divorce papers, I'm going to try this. Because I'm determined to keep this relationship, I'm going to try it. Now, none of us might not be at that point where we're saying, I'm going to try something else. I know I should be just going five and four and get rid of this crazy woman or what have you, but I'm going to try this. Now, yeah, the Bible does say unless you refrain from each other, unless it's prayer and fasting. So if that's the case, then
what is prayer and fasting? Because me fasting 40 days without sex can't be all that it is. Because if it is, the marriage is still headed for disaster. What I have to do in my fasting is I have to substitute the times that we're having sex with our time with the Lord.
Exactly.
Because, that intimate relationship with God is what's going to strengthen my intimate relationship with my fellow human beings. And in this case, we're talking about our spousal relationship.
I'm in agreement with your relationship is strong, and I mean strong, and the only thing you're trying to do is make it better. If you remove the sex temporarily and your relationship is not based on sex, the absence of the sex ain't going to make a difference. All it's going to do is make your relationship stronger.
No, correct. No, it's like
not.
Fasting with
oh,
food.
Oh, man, if
it
ain't broke, don't fix it.
But I know it's not
broke.
I'm going to give you the cliff notes real quick.
Let me finish this point.
Go ahead, Rodney.
So we need to understand, you know, we all need to have a greater understanding of what the fast really is. Because I can fast with food and all I'm going to get is skinny. That ain't the purpose of the fast. The fast should be to, I'm supplementing that time. I turn off the TV, I say I'm fasting for TV for 40 days. Then at the time that I want to watch an episode, I watch my half hour, hour, or 2 hours of TV that I normally watch, or maybe more for some of us. We should be spending all of that time in the Word, in prayer, and meditation. And that's what's strengthening our relationship with God. That's what's going to strengthen our relationship. If that relationship isn't strong, then nothing else is going to be strong. Because if I seek first the kingdom, all this other stuff is going to be mine. I can have all the sex in my house, not outside of my house. I can have all the sex I want in my house as long as I'm seeking God first. He's going to give me all of those things. He can touch her heart because this woman might simply just don't have a desire to give it up all the time. It just might not be her desire. I don't care how many tricks you play, how many costumes you put on, how many chandeliers you break. It doesn't really matter if it's not in her.
So
I
want
to put it in her.
I want to know guys on that, man.
I got to know.
It's called.
I got to know. The guy, let me, please, I got to know this. The guy was going through a divorce, and he decided to have a 40-day fast from sex.
He wasn't going through a divorce.
He wasn't
going through
a divorce.
Oh, he wasn't having any problems.
No,
he was having
problems,
but he wasn't going through a divorce.
Yeah, he was not going through a divorce, but he was.
He was catching
problems.
It before then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to share something that was instrumental in our relationship, and I challenge you men to go find this movie. It's called Fireproof.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it.
And the Love Dare book. Not only did we do it for me with her, but we turned around and did the exact same thing with her for me. It was incredible.
Good words.
You know, you can sit down and read the Songs of Solomon with your wife, too. And that can do some things for your relationship. And if
you haven't
read it on your own, take a look at it. That's a powerful book when it comes to relationship and intimacy between spouses.
Yep. I want to touch on one other thing that Rodney said. Not the 40 days, 40 nights, Rodney. not that Rodney.
Ouch.
We talk about this all the time, and we get it. We have to exhaust every single avenue possible to save our marriage and keep our marriage intact. We know this is head of household.
Correct.
The 40-day, 40-night thing, and I'm going to put an emphasis on 40 nights thing, I think we skipped some available options before we get to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we have skipped some very valuable communication issues before we get to the 40. I mean, and then again, you say, okay, honey, I got an idea to help our intimacy and bring us closer together. We're gonna fast for 40 days sexually. What if she says, I don't want to do that?
Yeah.
I want her to find out what's going on.
Y'all better be on the same page.
Yeah.
And both him and his wife are on the same page. That's what y'all mean.
What if she says, hold on.
But
hold
I ain't having it with no problem.
Listen to the rest of it.
You got it in your mind that you want to do it.
Hold
and on. She says no.
But what if she says, no, I want you to figure out what floats my boat and stop looking for excuses or ways around it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's realistic. That's what a woman
wants.
Because
that's
what
we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conversation.
How about a 40-night of sex?
the couple that did the 100 days or whatever, they wrote the book or they were on Today Show. I know y'all probably saw it, but the one thing about it is that's not a bad idea either.
Yeah.
The whole thing about it, they were like, we're going to do it. And they were like, I'm tired. We got the kids. We got jobs. And we just had to, you know, get our minds right for 100 days, I think it was. So the thing is that in both situations, they may not be your situation, but they both work. And like the host is saying, is like, you know, maybe you did, you know, maybe that is probably your last absolute resort. I don't think anybody is saying, well, the first thing you do is, you know, 40 days, no,
right.
Nobody's saying that.
We're
not saying that. And nobody, that never came out of my mouth, but the one thing about it is that brother was at a point where he was like, I done stopped this, I done stopped that. And about what Rodney said, which he thank you for helping me out for clearing it up, because the intimacy level should be between you and God first. If that ain't right, nothing else is going to be right. So what he said was, you supplement that time where you would be, you know, having sex, you might read a little scripture with your wife. Now, you talk about jumping off. You have a little Bible study with your wife. Now, if that don't drive her crazy, I mean, especially if you got a Christian woman, you prepare a little Bible study. I mean, that, you know, after the 40 days is over, she's going to be jumping on you.
No, not only that, but you have to look at this side of it too, man. On top of that, let's just not say it's sex, if you place anything, money, before God, and you're not honoring God first, ain't nothing in your life going to be working anyway.
No doubt.
Man. Yep. That's real.
No doubt.
And so, if we was to not laugh and joke about the 40 days, but if we was to say, okay, this is something that we would like to do together in honoring of God as a fast towards our relationship to honor Him, to deny for Him, He is going to bless that.
Yeah.
He is going to honor that.
Yeah.
Because you made a decision together, as a couple together, to work towards honoring Him first. He's going to honor that. He's going to bless that relationship even more.
And at that
good
point,
words.
The fast
good words.
Has nothing to do with
very
the
good
sex.
Nothing to do with that.
No,
I want to ask everybody a question. Mm-hmm. I want to ask everybody a question. And you don't have to answer out loud. If tonight, when we got off the phone, you went to your wife and said, honey, I want to take a 40-day fast so we can become more intimately close, and whatever the case, whatever reason you give her, what would she say? Your wife.
My wife would,
what would your wife
probably
say
that she would have to think about it, but I wouldn't doubt that she'd agree with it, because the reality is that, you know, like I said, every brother on this phone has different levels of intimacy, where we are and all that stuff. Yours may be great. Yours may be so-so. It may be poor. But, you know, mine is probably, you know, so-so. My wife, she wouldn't be like, yeah, let's do it. Great. You know, she wouldn't even do that. But she would say, you know what, let me think about it. Let me process it. Let me pray on it. I mean, and then, you know, she would come back. But I would not be surprised if she said, you know, yeah, let's try that. Let's try that.
And let me say this to you. And this is just my personal.
I can be honest with you and tell you that because I have been told to abstain based on the fact that I'm studying to be a minister, and I've already approached her about this, response was exactly like he said. She didn't just jump in and agree to it. She wanted to think about it and pray about it. And her response to me was, if that's what God's wanting you to do, I'm all about it.
I think that anyone that's, and this could be me, I could be totally wrong, but I think that anyone that would agree that their wife would, that would say that their wife would agree to that, that their wife may be in that 63%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I concur.
My man.
I concur.
Tell him like
I concur.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
I said yes
to 40 days, no sex. She's into that six. She's down with that 63. She could take it or leave it.
But what about? I mean, I agree with you. You are probably right about that situation. But in my situation, that's not it at all.
Yeah. It's not. And, no. and let me say this real quick, brother, is that...
But his issue is though, Rodney.
It's not, because what the survey said was having sex. Now, I'm not talking about having sex. I'm talking about making love. Now, what the survey said was having sex, correct? That's what the survey said. That she's thinking about another dude.
You're reaching,
man.
Yeah, I think you are reaching, Rodney.
Well, no,
you're reaching,
I'm not reaching. I'm talking about when you have intimacy, you make love. Now, I can go out tonight and have some sex. I can
talk about married folks.
Sex with.
We
yeah,
talk about married
exactly
folks.
And that's what I'm saying is that, but again, it's still what the survey said is that you're thinking about that when you're having sex.
I got to agree with you, man, because I'm going to tell you right now, this is one of the things that helped break my cycle down in regards to my own addiction and my own acting out, okay? My woman taught me the difference between quality and quantity.
Yes.
It took me 38 years to understand the difference between quality and quantity.
And I think if my man Peyton was on here, he's not on here tonight, but he said he don't even like the, you know, well, that's the choice sex, as we call it. He don't even like that. You know, because his wife is just, she's in that 63% that night, thinking about somebody else or thinking about something else. You know, I say that. I don't know what his wife's thinking about. But, I mean, literally, that's what the survey said, is you just having sex. Let's just, all right, it's Tuesday. Let's just do it. Get it over with. All right. Get off me. All right. Go on.
Well, wouldn't it, okay, wouldn't so it, therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. We're just thinking about it, just like you said, it's sex or making love. Whichever way, in your mind, you could think, oh, I'm making love to my wife. In her mind, she's like, yeah, he's just getting some. I mean, we don't know.
So,
you see what I'm saying? But
we need
just
to open up
some
line of communication and find out specifically what it is that's going to open up our buttons.
That's right.
Thank you. That's what I've been trying to say all night long.
Yeah.
We all love a freak, but we don't want one for a wife. But in essence, we do want one. We want them to be our own person, but we got to know what makes them that way.
Right.
We got to know what they didn't bring.
Right.
What they didn't bring into the marriage.
Layers off and figure out.
Nice.
You got to pull them layers off.
Nicely said.
Yeah, but I mean, again, what you got to realize is that you may turn out that freak. You know, you may find out what those buttons are, but it may not be 7 days a week. You know, I mean, you may turn
it
out.
Don't have to
you,
be 7 days a week.
Yeah,
who
that's
says
what
seven
I wanna,
days a week?
Yeah, but
no,
that's
I
what I want to make clear.
Something.
You know, with the freak, the whole concept of the freak. You know, like a brother said, it's quality over quantity, where you get that, you know, that real intimacy versus just the rollover, let's do it, is, you know, get off me, you know, type deal.
You can have a freak and only be doing it once or twice a week. I don't think that's not necessarily it. I hear you there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You got it. Y'all got it now, brothers.
Hey, Lemmy, you got it now, Rodney.
11:05, y'all got it.
Stay late.
No.
Oh, listen to Rodney, man. Y'all folks have a good
Rodney, night. Rodney, Mr. 40 Day, 40 Night. You're going to be that all week.
No, I'm just saying.
We're
going to
call you Moses.
Before y'all get off, I'm just saying that if you were at the point where you looking into yellow pages on the internet or something, I mean, and you remember this call, Rodney said about that brother with the 40 days and 40 nights. I think you probably might want to think about it. If I mean, well, unless you're comfortable with a divorce, which is the whole reason why this call started in general, was to prevent divorce. So, like you always say, you got to turn over all options. Maybe that you at the last point. You done did all the communication and the bubble bath, and you at the point, man, Rodney did say about that 40 days and 40 nights, but y'all are missing that. You have to look at it from your woman's perspective. Y'all are still in your, you know, thinking about it from your shoes about suffering 40 days and, God, you know, the marriage bed is undefiled and, you know, we should be one flesh. But the thing about it, if your woman, you know, you told your woman that and she was, and women know how much we think about sex. So for you to say that genuinely, she'd be like, man, this brother
Let me ask
really
you a
wants
question.
To make this work.
Well, here's another problem then. Do you know how much your wife is thinking about sex?
Right.
Why is that not important?
I know. It's not as often as I do.
That's a
How do you know that, though? I ask her.
You don't
You
know.
Ask her?
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Absolutely.
She's going to give you the right answer.
If you don't know, why don't you know?
Exactly.
Bam.
Thank you.
Exactly. But why don't you know? Because if you don't know, then that 40-day option is one of your options because you just don't know. So you're reaching. You're like, okay, well, let me try this. It worked for the other brother. Let me try if it works for me instead of finding out what her preferences are, what really presses her buttons, like the other brother said.
But, Tony, that's what I want to say this again, is that women, like the man said, the meat puppet, women, they get that in their minds too, that they're a piece of meat as your wife. They have that thought. That you just use me for a piece of meat, and if you
how do they get to that point though? But how do they get to that point? Maybe because they've been treated like
intimacy,
a piece of meat.
Lack of
well,
intimacy.
Yeah, but okay, so there's two words also that I've heard on the call, and that's fantasy and reality, right?
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
You know, and men and women are different to some degree. And for a man, for instance, if we're dating, or we want to date, or we want to marry, or what have you, we got a fantasy. We want this woman. You know, we want to have this house. We want to be with her, blah, 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 and we're going to have sex all the time. Oh, whatever the case is. So that's my fantasy. I get the woman, and I'll just use me for an example so I don't point nobody out on the phone. But, you know, you get that woman and then say, I stop dating, right? We stop going out to eat, and you know, we've talked about these type of conversations on the call before. But I'm stopping to eat. I'm not opening up the door and this, that, and the other. So fantasy's now gone. Reality's here because I already got the woman. So now I've kind of dropped the ball on the fantasy. And on the woman side of it, let's just say that her fantasy, I want to get with this guy. You know, he's fine. He does this. He has that, blah, 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 blah. And then she gets him. Now, reality sets in and says, well, okay, well, you know, I got him already, so we don't need to be doing this all the time. You know, we had it. And that has nothing to do with whether or not it was great or not. It's just the fact of maybe now that she's got you. So here's my point. My point is that from a man's perspective, we say, and we've said on this call, okay, so you need to get back into the groove. You need to start dating your woman again. You need to start doing this. You need to start doing that. Okay, so then from the other perspective, what is it that she has to do now? Because maybe it's not his issue. Maybe it's her issue, and she
right.
needs to start perceiving him differently. And
right.
or, let me throw another twist in there, and or is it that she fantasizes about sex, but she loves making love to her man.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody asked the question, how does a woman get that way? I think a woman gets that way because she's dealt with things in her life before you, and they never really healed from the things that they dealt with before then. So when we marry them and we haven't rectified those issues before we entered into marriage with them, then we bring that into our relationship, and now it's our problem.
Yep, baggage in the marriage.
And now listen, now listen. That could work against us, and it could work for us. Now I'm going to ask a question that's probably going to hurt this. It's extremely hard for us as men, a conversation that's extremely hard for us to have with our wives, but it may be one that's necessary. Just say, you know, you got your wife 30 years, 40 years old. She's been with other men other than you. You're running into a roadblock of intimacy. And then you sit her down and say, look, I'm not trying to pry in your business, but has there ever been a relationship that you've had that was just, that really, really, really pushed your buttons sexually? And what were those things that you and this other person did that really turned you on, that you really enjoy doing, that I'm not doing?
Nah, I ain't doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's though. Rough. That's rough,
Tony. Nah, Jack.
It's rough, right? Here's my thought on that one. Because if you have stepchildren,
like,
and she says it was their dad, then that would be
yeah, that's rough. That's rough.
That is a great concept, but what if you change the perception on how you deliver the message? What if you say, what is it that I'm not doing? Instead of going back into her dirty laundry, you just say, why do you care? I mean, that part of it, you don't want to know anyway. That ain't your business.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with what you said. It's all about delivery.
You just throw it out.
You deliver it a different way.
That's right. It's all a matter of perception, man. Once you figure out what you say, first of all, I need to share something with you. What you say out your mouth is powerful. And the other thing about it is what you say out your mouth is not only powerful, but how it's received is a matter of perception. And if you was to be like, I mean, think about this from an outside perspective. Let's just say you and your wife switch places for a minute, okay? And she came and asked you, as you asking her, all about your dirty laundry, okay? How uncomfortable would you be about that? If you turned it around and said, look, I get the feeling that I'm not doing something right, whether it's emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, something's not clicking, what is it? That's how you get to that point. That's how you peel that layer back, because all you're going to do is continue to create regret. Like, man, I should have never left him.
Mm.
Yeah, let me tell you, do y'all listen? I'm not saying y'all. This is just what I'm.
Those are good words, by the way.
That is good words. But, and I maybe, this is just my youth, but when I think about what women, when it comes to sex or whatever, I think women say it all the time about men. We always trying to fix something. We keep saying it on the phone. We got to find out what their button is. We got to do this or whatever. But when it all first jumped off, and it's still the same way with women now, it's what they're attracted to. We ain't got to push the button. Find out what attracts them. And that ain't us pushing the button. It might just be they tired of seeing you in them same damn, excuse me, but those same pajama bottoms that you got on every night. It might be that cologne that you wear. But I'm telling you, Seth, because whoever that guy is that's in the office, it's something that he does. He could be overweight or something, but just the way he carried in a certain way, because I listen to women.
Yeah.
It's about an attraction. It ain't about us trying to find out that spot on her body or the nice restaurant or cleaning up the kitchen. It's about what attracts her. That's what I think, if we're just talking about sex and attraction, period.
And I think the mistake we make is we do all those other things thinking, yeah, you know, I clean up the kitchen, I should get some tonight. But she's like, no.
That's right.
I wanted you to put the kids down or whatever the case may be.
When was the last time you guys actually asked your girl, your fiance, your wife, what it is that she loves about you?
I've done that probably in the last year, not recently.
When was the last time, aside from that question, that you asked her, what is it that you don't like about me?
Wow.
If you are willing to look at the things that she loves about you, but you're not willing to look at the things that she don't like about you, then that means that you're not willing to make changes to make your relationship better, because that means that you're only self-centered.
Yeah.
That's good word.
Yeah. And another question, which is a very simple question, just following up on that, have you asked your wife, you know, how often you would like to have sex per week? You know, if you thinking, I mean, if y'all not on the same page with that, there's going to be some frustration. If you like
No. But I don't agree with that either, because then it's scheduling. Then it's scheduling. It's supposed to happen, and I don't believe that sex is.
I just don't believe
that sex works that way.
It's not scheduling.
Intimacy doesn't work that way.
You need to know what your goals are. You need to know where your mind frame is.
I believe that you are correct in understanding what her time
is. Married to go.
But at the same time, you need to understand this. You just need to come back to this basic principle. Women believe that intimacy is not just the bedroom. They really want to hug, cuddle, kiss, hang out. Not on that, and the only time that you get intimate is in the bedroom. It ain't no wonder that she shuts it down.
Here you go. So here I'll throw a question out there to you. Can you make love and have sex to your woman?
Of course.
Yes.
That's the best. Okay. So if that's the case, maybe we're trying too hard to make love to her, and or we're trying too hard to have sex with her, and we're missing the connection between the two.
We're missing the whole intimacy thought process in general.
Wow.
I'm saying, if you want to talk about sex versus love, I mean,
not verse, with.
I know, but listen to this. What's the difference between you coming up in the door, you all wild and crazy, grabbing up a hold of her, dragging her into wherever you go and just getting buck wild and being totally intimate with her and taking your time.
No. Why do you have to be the caveman? Why can't she?
You're right. But what
That's what I'm saying. Maybe she doesn't want to make love to you. Maybe she wants to have wild sex with you.
Wrong with that, but you have to, but at the same time, you have to understand something. Okay? In general, the women's makeup is not designed to be caveman. That don't mean that they won't go caveman on you. However, you must share that intimacy thought process with you. Because not only does she want to go caveman, you might want her to go caveman on you.
I get that. But I'm saying, you know, we always come down to the bubble bath, the candles, and we try to put the rose petals up. Maybe she don't even want all that. Tear everything up.
That's what I'm talking about.
She wants to tear stuff up. I think maybe that's why she's not turned on. Maybe that's why she don't want to get
yeah,
every time.
Maybe you're not ripping the panties.
Right.
Maybe you're not ripping the panties.
Lingerie.
Right.
You want to buy some sexy lingerie, you put candles all around the house and put aromas and all. And she's like, no, that don't do it. I want to go buck nutty in this house.
I agree with you. What I think is that That has to be that spark to just keep it going. Now you can't, you know, go caveman and do all that all the time because she's gonna want that soft caress and all that stuff. You know, she's gonna want that too. You know, you just can't.
How do you know? But look, that's the point.
Intimacy.
Right now, you're saying what a woman wants.
Right.
Right now, you're actually opening your mouth to say what a woman wants. We cannot say what a woman wants because we're not a woman.
Yeah, but you can be on the same page intimately when you
think
of the Lord. Oh, she wants me to rough her up tonight.
Listen. Newsflash
is if you keep an open line of communication. That's when you look at all this conversation, freak,
yeah.
No freak, professor, the guy at the office, whatever it is, it all breaks down to one simple process, communication. And when relationships start breaking down in communication, that is when you start having issues.
Listen, 63% of those women, right, was with 63% of those men. And 63% of those men probably thought they knew what these other 63% of those women wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
wow.
And
that's basic math.
Here.
And guess what? That's basic math. And there's a 50% divorce rate, and that's 13% of those women are just waiting to get divorced because the 63% of those men don't have a clue.
But
right.
Here's the other part of the statistic that ain't nobody talked about.
What's
okay?
That?
And I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. I'm sorry about the French. You know, statistics are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Right.
And not every statistic is a necessary qualifying thing about the way it really is in life.
Right.
Okay.
Well, that's just a poll of a certain 2,000 women. So, but
they talk about 63% of 2,000 women.
Right.
Okay. That's 63% of 2,000 women. What if they've gone to 5,000? There've never been. Statistics are flexible and they're utilized to manipulate data for whatever purpose that the co-host wants to serve.
Yep.
That doesn't make it actual factual.
Besides that, we don't deal with facts anyway. I mean, we all talk about we profess Christ and we deal with truth. Truth changes facts. I get all of that. But nonetheless, 63% of these women out of the 2,000 said that they fantasize other men when they're with their man.
And the only reason it matters to us and makes it relevant to us on this call is if our woman was part of the 63% of that 2,000.
Okay. How do you know she's not?
How do you know she's not?
Intimacy. That's what I'm saying, y'all. Intimacy.
How do you know she's not?
Talk to
her. But it could be Rodney. But listen, it could be Rodney's intimacy.
Yeah.
It might not be Mrs. Rodney's intimacy.
Okay, so let me ask this question. If you ask your woman.
What if the 2,000 women that they asked weren't Christian?
If you ask your woman,
yeah.
Would she be honest with you and tell you yes or no if she's fantasizing about somebody else?
Mine would.
Yeah, mine would too. Mine is blunt about it.
I mean, and maybe that's the case. I ain't going to sit there and say that, you know, you're lying. I'm not going to say that because maybe you do know your woman that way.
Yeah, she would tell me. She's like, yeah.
Mm. I'm not as quick to say yes or no.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, me neither.
And
see,
again,
I know what my woman's about. My woman's about keeping it real.
I like to think no.
Here's what happens when
no
my
way.
Woman don't keep it real. She's got to be totally pissed off and out of the game before she don't keep it real. And then she keeps it real, but then she becomes devious. She'll keep it real even when she's mad, but she'll get when she gets out of control, she's lost all hope and it's done and over with. The reality is that she becomes devious.
If you
and
thought,
it's all about
let me
sex
flip the
for
script.
Revenge and all that old crazy stuff. I'm
let
telling
me,
you.
If, let me flip the script.
If you
would you tell your wife after having sex that you were thinking about another woman?
Now, Rodney, you about to get thrown out the window.
No,
but
you
know what?
I'm going somewhere with this. Just go
okay.
ahead and humor me for a minute.
Go ahead, go ahead.
The difference in men and women, women already know that about us.
No, no, wait a minute. No, I'm not talking about what they know. I'm saying, would you tell your woman after having sex with her that you were thinking about another woman while having sex?
No.
You
no.
wouldn't.
No,
but
in no way.
But no, hold on. But you're telling me that you wouldn't. I'm not saying anybody in particular, but I'm saying I'm hearing that, no, you wouldn't tell your woman that. But you're telling me you're convinced 100% that she's going to tell you.
Right. That ain't right.
Right.
That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Rodney, I didn't say 100%. I said 63%.
They told somebody, they just didn't tell their husband.
Brother 2 made a good point. He was like, how many of that 63% was a good, you know, a Proverbs 31 woman?
Right.
A
true.
Good Christian woman, you know.
True, I agree.
And in the world.
Yep.
I'm not banking on the 63, you know, out
yeah.
of those 2,000, because I don't know those 2,000. But.
Exactly.
Okay, but Rodney, let me ask a question. Is there really a difference when it comes to satisfying your woman? Is there really a difference?
What do you mean is there a difference?
What you just talked about, the one that loves the Lord and the one that probably doesn't even know the Lord yet. Does it make a difference when it comes to satisfying your woman?
Absolutely, because love starts with God. You got to love God first before you can love anybody else.
If you're a man and you cannot get that point across to your wife, then does it make a difference?
Yes.
If you can't get that point across to this woman that doesn't even know God, all she knows is she's in a marriage and intimacy is something that's not there.
You're gonna
come in there and say, we need to know. I mean, honestly, you can, but is that right there? Is it really going to make a difference from the woman that loves the Lord that still does not feel the intimacy in her marriage?
Yes, because she has an intimate relationship with the Lord. It's a difference.
I mean, I'm sure that there are women that are involved that have a relationship with God that have lack of intimacy in their relationships with their husbands.
Exactly. It happens. But we have the foundation.
But where does it all come back to?
Yeah.
It always comes back down to one thing. It's going to come back down to communication breakdown.
Yep.
Exactly.
It comes back down to communication breakdown. You know what I'm saying? If it's, I mean, it could be a factoring of she ain't happy because you're not satisfying her in bed. But what's the problem? If you're not satisfying her in bed, whose responsibility is that for her to communicate? It's her responsibility to communicate that. And if she's not responding and she's not telling you, it's your responsibility as a husband to pull it out of her. Not communicating, it comes down to this, lack of communication. 99.9% of the time when people start talking again in relationships, and I'm not just talking about yelling and screaming, when they get down, get real, and throw it out there about the way they really feeling, even if it's some old dirty crap like, you know what, I'm tired of picking up your nasty drawers. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes down to it, the communication comes out, that's how the process of healing starts. And if the communication ain't there, you ain't got nothing. And if you're not worshiping, if you're not honoring God in your relationship, and you're not honoring God individually and together, you ain't got nothing anyway.
I would agree with you. I would just change the lack of communication with certain communication. Because much talking ain't going to necessarily get you anywhere just because you said a lot.
Right. And another thing is that you had your lady has to be comfortable with you to communicate with you.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
You know, that is, you have to basically set the mood, you know, and I think we talked about a long time ago is how you respond versus how you react. you know, to what she's saying. You know, so if she doesn't feel safe to be vulnerable and air her feelings and talk, you know, and come to you with a situation, because like you said, you're the person that she should be the most safe with, not some counselor, not the pastor, not the co-worker.
That's right.
You should be the one that she comes to and says, you know what, I'm feeling like this.
Communication has gotten to the point that you can't communicate, and you have to utilize the pastor, the counselor. You've already waited too long anyway.
Exactly. And you've got to be mature enough for her to feel comfortable with coming to you saying, "Honey, I don't want a bubble bath. I don't want flowers. I don't want rose petals. I want, as soon as you walk in the door, you bend me over the kitchen sink and let me have it."
There it is.
You gotta be man enough to be able to accept that and say, "But honey, I can't do that. You're my kid's mother." What?
See, I ain't all that.
Let
her
go.
She has a right to feel that way.
Or the reversal, and if that is our angle of kind of going at it always that way, going around the reversal and doing the candles and the aroma and all that other rose petals and stuff like that. So what we always say on this call, you got to know your own spouse. I can listen to your advice and everything like that. That might be fine for your house. Like Tony say, because I said so.
That ain't work in my household.
That won't work so well in my house, but I'm glad it worked in Tony's.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got a confession to make. That ain't working in my house either. I ain't gonna fuck
I'm the only one that can go by that.
I think the bottom line, fellas, is that women, all of our women, don't like routine. I think that's clear.
Yes.
They like variety. So one time they might want you to just come in and bend them over the kitchen sink, but you know, then another time they might want, you know, rose petals and the bubble bath. So, again, what Rodney just said is that you have to know your woman. You have to know that, you know, when you come home from work 3 nights a week, you can't say, you know, bend over the kitchen sink, you know, at the table. You can't do that, you know, but you might can do it once out of the year or something, you know, but you have to know your wife.
You have to be able to know when you could go caveman on her anyway. But you did make a good point about that ain't working in my house. It made me think of this question. How many times do you think your wife, girlfriend, your fiance's friends influence the things she thinks, says, and does in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Throw the church in there too. Throw the church in that mix.
You know what? That's a good point. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It works.
It's a lot.
That's Eddie Murphy raw. If any of you are old enough, I know all y'all probably old enough, but if you remember him talking about him wanting to get this African woman butt naked, riding a zebra with bones in her hair, bringing her back here, untainted by society and keeping her away. But he said, as soon as her she gets girlfriends in the U.S. and they start talking to her, she said he's got her. She's got
half
of her family talking about, "I want half."
Yeah.
Half.
You know. Absolutely. That's
funny thing is, I saw Eddie Murphy. I saw that concert in Orlando, and I'm going to tell you what, the reality of that is very sad.
Yeah.
And that's a sad reality.
It is.
Yeah.
Well,
you get to that point in the game, you lost all hope. You done. You didn't get it right. Married, as a person that's been married, and a person that's been through some relationship issues, and when it was all said and done, you know, when we was fighting during before the divorce came about, or before I'm getting up out of here and done, it was all about her issues, blah blah blah. Out is that once I got away from her and I started thinking about the situation, there was a many time that I realized the things that I did wrong in that relationship and could have made it better.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And
good
it made
words,
me grow.
Words.
It was painful and it hurt. You know, my pastor gave me a good example. He said, you know, when people get married, it's like two pieces of paper that are glued together. And he said, when you divorce, you separate, it's like pulling those pieces of paper together with the glue in the middle. You're going to have chunks, and it's going to be messy.
Yeah, good point.
Well, it's just about 11:30. We've gone a half an hour over.
We've had a lot of great dialogue, a lot of different opinions. I think we all can agree that 40-day, 40-night option is a long, long, long way away option in reference to solving some intimacy issues.
But that might be, you know, what y'all need right now.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't get to that point. Let's hope that we had enough insight to know that we can ask certain questions of our wives. Like somebody said earlier, what do you like about me? What do you not like about me? Things like that that may get her to confide in certain things. And we got to be old enough or mature enough to accept the fact that she may tell us something that may not be ladylike.
Yeah.
It may be
or something that's gonna
freakish. Exactly, freakish to a point that we didn't know. And there's certain things that she may have been holding back 5-10 years because she just didn't think that we were mature enough to handle it. So that may be a way of presenting the question of, you know, honey, is there something that you've been wanting to tell me about your sexual fetish and that you haven't told me because you think that I would look at you a different way? Well, I'm here to tell you that I won't, and I'm down for whatever. You know, certain conversation I think that, you know, that we can possibly have. But anyway, it's been a great call. I'm getting ready to terminate the recording, and we're going to go into our open mic segment. Hold on 1 second.